So, do roll call in a different session? Excellent. We were going to talk about scheduling. I'm going to wait a little for that one, partly because if I'm smart, I can make Nicholas do it.
Point of order. I think you actually do need to do a roll call because you could have a different set of people in the room.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's good. Let's do one. Is David Baskin here?
Yes.
Green Baskin?
Green is my middle name.
Excellent. Oh my gosh, this is going to be a test.
Present.
Yeah.
Charlie, give me a present.
Peter Beckman.
Hey, Peter.
Sid Slater.
Thanks, Sid.
Sarah.
Doug.
Sue. Do you prefer Sue or Susan?
Sue, please.
Rick Longinot.
Excellent. Good point. So, we'll still wait a little before doing the scheduling, because there's no point scheduling without as many people as you can get. Basically, what we're doing today is working through the charter, and we talked about doing the section on communication and roles, the section on subcommittees, and the elevation procedures as priorities. Before that, I'm going to say a couple things. When Nicholas asked me to introduce myself last time, I was like, I think this is great, now let's move on, which is my total personality. Today I'm going to say a little bit more, and I was thinking about something I don't think I've ever told anybody. When I was a teenager, I, for reasons I don't remember, decided that if I ever had this upwelling feeling of what a beautiful shirt, or how much I appreciated that lecture, or whatever, that didn't happen often, that if it was appropriate, I would say so. But I would never give a compliment unless it were true, but I would always give a compliment if it were true. So I'm going to compliment you all a lot. There are good reasons for that. And of course I want you to feel good about the process. That's part of my job. If I do give you a compliment, though, it's real. Now, I said that I had a good feeling about this process. I think the pieces are in place. You're in the crucible now. And I think the crucible is designed in such a way by fate and by us and by you and by the council that you'll stay in the crucible. And once you're in there with this quality of people, you're going to do fantastic work and have fun sometimes. So here's my two indicators most recently. I've always waited for the first spontaneous laugh. Does anybody remember when the first spontaneous laugh happened? There were two. One wasn't so spontaneous. I made you laugh about the contract thing, remember?
I remember that. Yeah.
But earlier, Nicholas said something, and you just erupted in, as a group, you erupted into laughter, and that sometimes takes months. So, excellent. The other thing is using the dialogue maps. For instance, I used the dialogue maps with a controversy about a copper mine that was going to be sited outside the city of Tucson, where there were thousands of people and there was a great intensity feeling and a lot of intelligence applied. But when you would try to dialogue map the arguments, they were super shallow. So one of the things you want to see in a dialogue map is this thing where it sprawls all over and it stretches to the right. Later, as I mentioned, as it matures, it should get simpler. But you are already thinking in complex and sophisticated ways. So those are two of the reasons I think this might work. All right. Yes, thank you for smiling. I'm thinking that we should go to the subcommittee section next. Right. Thank you so much, Nicholas. Actually, on the agenda is that we're going to check in about the dialogue maps, because also on the agenda was a 15-minute opportunity for people to come and write on them. And people have been writing on them. So here's the thing. I know some of you are eager on Friday to, if at all possible, make a recommendation or whatever it is you're supposed to make about the actual hiring of consultants. There's past that you injure yourself. And the other is to actually build up this as much as possible today during the breaks and stuff, because we're going to use this in order to prime the discussion and make it as effective as possible. So if there's pieces that you think are missing, that would be excellent. I had a conversation with one of the committee members. What I had done with the materials you sent about interests, they were sort of two wise. Remember, Nicholas said interest is the thing that happens after the five wise. They were sort of two wise down from positions, which was fantastic. Of course, we wanted to push it even further more towards interests. So I felt that a lot of the stuff that you sent was A, very valuable, and B, much more about the criteria or the indicators for getting your interests accomplished. Here's things that we had originally thought of as interests from our interviews, plus the ones in green come from the materials that you sent. And here I put the things that I thought were more indicators. So, for instance, if you said, I want a team that will give me the facts without sneaking guidance. That's a lot less positional than I want an acne company. But I would still say, well, why is that important to you? And I'm just going to pick you, Sue, because you were making eye contact with me. If you had said this, facts without sneaking values in, why would that be important to you?
Because that way, everyone could have a basis for agreeing on the facts, and the facts would then be settled.
Okay, so then I would put that in an interest thing. I have an interest in a process where the facts are clear and it can be worked through separately from the values. So when you get up here, to the extent you can augment this, and there's one part that talks about another very collaborative thing you can do is instead of going, I want acne or I want beta, you can say, well, what else, how else could we manage this? And so that's what this sheet is, and this also comes from the materials that I received from you. Is, well, do it, does it have to be stratus or not stratus, or could it be some other combinations and permutations? So if you, I call these strategies, I suppose they're a mix of strategies and tactics. If you have any others that you want to put on the table, please do that during the possible part. Now, that's a lot of me talking. Anybody from the committee or the public want to address some of the information that's on these dialogue maps?
I'm looking for a later opportunity to do it. I'm going to look at that again.
Okay.
Give it a quick look. And don't have anything to say right now.
But that's an extra point, because this is an evolving thing. And by the way, if you want to get up and quietly go and look at this, this is a big focus for tomorrow, go ahead and write on it, and we'll get incorporated into the discussion that way. Thanks.
Good boy.
Now, can we talk about subcommittees?
Now we can go.
All right, what page are the subcommittees on?
Chapter 10.
All right. Do you want any subcommittees?
Very possibly.
Very possibly. Tell me why.
I just think issues will come up at some point that we may need a method to study.
So,
can you repeat that and say it louder?
Just that at some point various issues will come up that will need an actual method to study that we'll have to, you know, assign to people. And I think it's important to have a process to do that with.
Okay, so for efficiency, and I'm doing the interest thing on you. And what I'm also hearing is in that case, it's not that you have any specific subcommittee you want now, but you might want a few.
I think we should have an outreach committee. I think that it's so clear that our goal is to keep the public involved in this process and know what we're up to. And we could just leave that to our staff, whoever that ends up being, staff and or consultants, but it seems to me that it ought to be guided by our small subcommittee just to make sure that we really feel like we're, you know, reaching out to the whole community and that the message is getting out there. And, you know, it would hopefully be a balanced group with no particular perspective that it's pushing or something, but that the public would know what we're up to. And I don't see us, it's not worthy of the entire committee's effort to see, I mean, once in a while it'll come back to us as a choice, but I just think ongoing, there ought to be some group of people that's constantly asking, does the public in this town know what we're up to? Are we repeating the thing the city council did for the last 20 years of moving ahead and not really bringing people with them, or is it working? I just think that's a committee we probably need to have.
Okay, so the flexibility to create subcommittees and a standing subcommittee about outreach and...
Am I right to assume, because of the Brown Act, that if we're going to do any work apart from these monthly meetings, that we need to do it by subcommittee?
Yes.
Or call an emergency meeting, which we can do.
Yeah.
Just want to note that the city manager has asked us to form a subcommittee on the website. I'd like to comply.
Yes. Okay, so we have outreach and website, could be the same, could be different. Temporary subcommittees, if we like the efficiency, we like not waiting a whole month. I shouldn't say we, you. So, yes.
Well, I'm not, I mean, if I'm thinking in terms of our articles, then I would like us to have the capacity to have both standing and temporary subcommittees and for us to determine that as we go along. Because there's some topics that we may want to have in Brown Act open meetings even for the subcommittee, and then others that for efficiency and because of their, you know, relative less important or something, that we might want to have a committee that is not subject to the Brown Act and can work a little more efficiently perhaps.
Excellent. So my understanding is that the temporary subcommittees, if they're less than 6 months, can have that flexibility. So there's another, the flexibility of non-noticed meetings for non-controversial but work-accomplishing topics. All right? Anything else? Yeah?
Do we want, like, a library committee?
And
research committee? Something that all of the various reports we'll be looking at, letters we've received, all that kind of thing, some kind of way to structure that so that people, if they don't have it right at hand, they can just email someone who can, or add a website where we can post this stuff.
Yeah. Maybe that is a function or a function of the website committee that they make all of our documents accessible to anybody who wants to see them.
Okay. I had pointed out last night that there's kind of an overlap with chair and co-chair in the sense that they can take care of some of the agendizing or whatever. I'm not pushing the idea, but just wanted to make sure.
Was there a decision made about having a chair or not last time?
No.
Nope.
It wasn't the discussion.
Well, so I'm seeing the blank faces that tell me we can leave the chair or co-chair till we get to that section. So basically, let's look at the language, because I'm hearing a bit of a sense of the meeting. Do you want website to be the outreach committee? Because, okay. Anybody else have thoughts about that?
I mean, website and outreach are very related to one another, but they're not necessarily the same skill set. And both of those have very focused capability. I mean, I don't know how we're going to be staffing the subcommittees, and that depending upon how we staff them could tell a lot about that. But you know, outreach is something that I personally, like, I have no idea how to do it. Not that I know how to do the website, but it seems like they're very different skills.
Okay. So there's a combined feel and there's a not combined feel, and I'm just going to interrupt by asking, can everybody hear okay?
No.
No.
I don't think it's very.
Would you be able to hear better if you sat in one of these seats?
Well, I've got great ears, but I know that for somebody who was here last night, who doesn't, you know, and I just think in general, I mean, it's hard to hear, you know, some people don't project that well, so I've missed some stuff.
Okay, so let's try and speak up.
I don't think this is high-interest time, and when you do have a high-interest time, you want to be able to project, so we may as well get that in place sooner rather than later.
All right. Is that on that topic or another topic? All right, so it's on website versus outreach? Okay.
I don't imagine that our website committee needs to be able to write code. They need to we have some technical people who will make a website for us. Their job is about the content, is getting out there and how are we advertising the website, and that's more like a layperson function. If you don't, you can be a complete Luddite, know nothing about web. So just
populate it.
But you'd be able to look at it and say, well, it doesn't include the important information the public needs to have, or it's not clear to me when I read it or something. It's much more that. I think that's the function. We're not looking for a subcommittee that's going to, like, create a website. I think that's not.
Okay.
Having my thought about it.
Charlie?
Well, at this level, we're trying to create the charter. Isn't it more important to create the structure to enable committees and subcommittees than it is to try to identify which ones we think we're going to need? So could we move forward on the structure?
Yeah, we could. Let me just pick up on what Rick said about the website, because the city would really like to have that. So I'm going to intrude myself and say, why don't you make the outreach committee, include website for now, make it, and then you can divide it later.
Sure.
Yeah, I would see the website as being one part of outreach, but not all of outreach.
And the concern I have is that...
I'm being too pushy.
Yeah. See, the reason I don't think these things belong necessarily in the same committee is because the water department has had a website that has all the information on it for many years. And at least my impression from being on the Water Commission is that the public penetration of all that information is relatively low. And so to me, outreach is how we somehow get the message out to the public or get them engaged in ways that they haven't been in the past when we know that they aren't going to the website.
Okay. Charlie was saying, let's get the structure in place but not decide which subcommittees, because he wants to get on.
Well, I agree with that, but if you're going to create, if you were in the direction of creating the standing subcommittee, and I have very much concerns if that's where you're going, that these things really be separately considered.
Only because the city had asked for a website committee, so let me flip it around. If one solution is to create the outreach committee, include the website, and then split them later, would you be happy with just creating the website committee and then deciding later whether you want to tag it on?
I think the city wants to have the website happen, and that we probably all do too, and that we probably need to spend some time talking about how that will happen in this relationship to outreach. It's not like it all has to happen this week.
Okay. Where does that leave us?
Well, in terms of outreach, I think it's really important that we get information out there, but I think it's also, for me, important to have information brought back here, to gather information from outside to bring it in. For myself, you know, representing citizens, I don't really have a good sense of what the general public thinks or feels about this issue now. You know, there's some vocal groups here, some vocal groups there, but, you know, what does everybody think? And so I think an important function that committee would also be to bring back information.
Thank you.
I want to go back to what Charlie said. I agree that this is not the time yet to form all this, to determine all the subcommittees, including the outreach. And once we get to that point, because we're not even there to outreach today, once we get to this point, let's just put the structure in place and then it's easy. You know, it's always who wants to be in the subcommittee, let's do it. But we don't know where the process will lead us in the end. What subcommittee they really need.
Okay.
Is that a proposal that we just adopt the structure now and name the subcommittee later?
Yes.
Okay. And David, your idea was something along those lines.
I agree with that.
You agree with that?
I agree with that, absolutely.
So the structure that we need, I think, is just that we can create standing committees, we can create temporary subcommittees. And I think this thing under C, we'll have to clarify what we mean by it, but what, you know, subcommittees don't really have the ability to speak for this group. They have to bring it back to us. If it's some, you know, major position or something, you know, that wouldn't be the outreach committee or the web committee. That's going to be some committee that's assigned to look into a particular technology or alternative or something. But they don't get to then, like, you know, call a press conference as a subcommittee. That comes back to us as a view. But for these other things, I'm assuming if we don't say anything about it, that their voting process is exactly the broad one that we've already established. Subcommittees are established by consensus, by sense of the body, and that'll work. Consensus, only a vote if you have to, the supermajority if you need to do it, blah, blah, blah. And we don't have to have language here that specifies how you create a committee, because we'll use our general decision-making approach to this like anything else.
Okay.
That's a thought. I'm expressing that. Maybe people don't agree with that, but that's what I think we should do.
So, the first thing is moving forward into setting up the structure. And then there were quite a few things in what Mike said. So let's look at the language and come back once that's done to this question that that Rick Long raised, because I don't think that totally got settled. Let's deal with the structure. So looking at B, there's some choices in your Mad Libs structure. The temporary subcommittees can be public or not, as you decide when you create them, is the way that first bracket reads. You either decide or the subcommittee decides whether you want to be public. Because you could make a temporary subcommittee that you still want to use the Brown Act. Yes?
I would think in the effort for transparency and communication that any decision should be made at the committee meeting with the public in attendance, not by the subcommittee members outside of the general observation.
Okay. So, yes.
I completely agree. Usually the way I've seen it structured is that your subcommittee usually brings a recommendation to the greater policy group, which would be this group, and then you make a decision rather than the subcommittee making a decision.
So there's two decisions. One is, are we going to be public? We want to create a temporary subcommittee about water temperature. Are they going to decide to comply with the Brown Act even though they don't have to? And that decision, Charlie is saying, should be made by this committee when they create the water temperature. I think what you were saying might have been, whatever the subcommittee decides is going to have to come back to us in the public to either validate or not.
Yes.
Okay. So on Charlie's point, what he would have is basically the first bracket in the before last line of subsection B would be the one that you would pick, and then the rest would be struck.
Correct.
I'm getting that.
How do people feel about that? Is that okay? Oh, yeah. So this is a show of hands kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah. You could ask, does anybody object to it? The only way to get at it.
Okay. So, the next one, subcommittee.
That addresses Dana's point.
Say what?
That addresses Dana's point, I believe.
Yes.
Subcommittee communication should be back to the general committee, not to the city council or any other body.
So we put the may not.
Correct.
In which case, you don't even really, you could just take out that whole part, because the only thing that's left them is,
Or you could strike may and other, and I think that would achieve what we want to do.
Are you talking about in C?
Yes.
I think we may need to consider some kind of criteria about the decisions that the subcommittees can make themselves and the ones that they need to bring back to this committee. Because, if we were going to have a website subcommittee, a lot of the work that needs to be done there are decisions that they need to be able to just make and implement, or else it's going to take forever to get the website and get the content on it. But that's way different than, for example, if there's an issue that we are supposed to recommend to make a recommendation to council on, and we wouldn't want the subcommittee making the recommendation directly to council. We want the subcommittee making a recommendation to us as to what we should recommend to council, and then have the discussion here about that. So I think we're going to need to establish some boundaries there.
Well, perhaps it should be authorized. Not be authorized to make recommendations directly to council, but it can certainly reach decisions but they would not make the recommendations directly to council.
Well, and I think even in making decisions, we're going to have to talk about what kinds of decisions they're making, because if they're decisions that are in the broader, if they're the kinds of decisions that we would expect the committee to make on a subcommittee recommendation, then we, you know, I think there's some of those that we would want to have come back to the committee. There's a lot of what I, you know, I don't want to call it busy work, but it's like, you know, the implementation of a task that we wouldn't want to have reviewed by the committee as to every detail.
Okay. Erica?
Oh, I was just commenting that in C it says, you know, right in there, making recommendations directly to council. So I think that's, we should stick with there and then just maybe add on, but may proceed with decisions that are related to getting the committee's work done specifically, or whatever, the subcommittee's work done, I mean. Because it's right on there, it says to the council, so I think that kind of takes into that into account.
Please go ahead.
So perhaps we could just omit after that first bracket in C, to reach decisions and then it would read subcommittees may not be authorized to make recommendations directly to the council,
mm-hmm.
and they can do whatever else.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like the first clause. I mean, as these subcommittees are formed, I mean, it seems like at that time, this group could decide to give authority.
Right.
So,
so
do we need this?
What I'm hearing, I'm not sure how much you need this entire thing.
I agree with David, and I think we should add a sentence at the beginning, or what introductory paragraph, like this right under the Article 7, that should say, when the committee establishes subcommittees, it shall give them a clear charge and a scope of responsibility.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
You think you've done this before?
The reason you're here, why?
All right. So, in that case, do we need C? Can we strike it?
I still like the idea that they don't go to the council directly.
Okay.
The way the C would work, I thought, makes sense.
So subcommittees may not make recommendations directly to the council, period.
I have a question just in general about communication with the council. Do we need to have a broader discussion about that? I'm having a hard time kind of grasping when we would be making a recommendation to the council apart from the very end of the process.
Right.
You know, so are we going to have interim periods of communication with the council, or are we just going to wait till the end and make a recommendation?
The former. According to the way the council set up the committee, you have a series of milestones. And depending on what work plan you choose, you may do some of those milestones iteratively. And those are specified. But you, could, of course, could report on other things as you wish. Anybody else? Yes.
One of the things for fitting in with that, it would seem to me, for a temporary committee is a group that volunteers to draft, make the first draft of the milestone report, something like that.
I think Dana's question will be addressed in Article 4, Section A, Committee, City Council, on that.
Yeah. So, Dana, of our priority pieces, which are no longer up there, but I keep pointing to it. No, that's okay. This is one of the ones we want to do today.
Okay, I just need to do my homework and read ahead of time. All right.
So great. Are we then done with the subcommittee?
You know, I wasn't sure what we would write at the end. This subcommittee is may or may not other. What do we come up with on that?
May not.
Yeah, we said subcommittees may not be authorized to make recommendations directly to the council.
So or the public.
Recommendations so other than this body.
Or the public. You know, they go out there and have a press release about what they discovered is the perfect solution. You know, and you never heard about it?
All right. Well, what's your point, Doug?
The only challenge I see with that is we put ourselves in a position where we have to change the charter if we decide at some point during the process that we actually do want to empower a committee to do something that it would take to the council. I'm not saying that I can imagine what that would be right now, but we're precluded from it. So I was thinking that the language up front that requires us to establish a charter, responsibilities, and statement of work could also include the communication parameters for the committee. And that at least leaves the door open without having to do a charter.
You just put words at the end, unless otherwise stipulated by the larger committee at the time of inception.
So we could drop C.
I was thinking we could drop it. Yeah.
So are you okay with that? We drop C and we put at the opening paragraph of the article, it now will say, at the opening paragraph, it will say,
I added
in
sentence
that
a little while ago.
What happened to it?
Is
there?
All right, well, let's start all over again.
No, it's there. It's the first one.
That sentence that I
said. Oh, it's at the very top. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought there was no objection to that. So
right.
No, it belonged there. I just was kept looking for it to end. Sorry. So when the committee establishes a subcommittee, blah, 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 as well as somebody had the language.
Communication parameters.
Communication parameters.
External communication
parameters. Okay, external. That's a long word. I think they're typing.
Now, I promised we would come back. You have your system in place. There was a back and forth about website or outreach. There was conversation that let's decide that as we get our legs under us, and then there was a conversation of that the city was hoping to have some people that could check in with. Tina, do you want to say something about that?
I want to say something. Thank you for the opportunity. Hi, everyone. Tina Scholl. And so what we're asking for is, I don't know if you all saw the memo in your binders that I wrote, just the one pager. Maybe not. Well, somewhere in your binders, there's a one-page memo talking about this concept of a website. And I agree with whoever said that the website is a part of your outreach. It's not your outreach. But the council made clear that they want this committee to be the lead of the public engagement effort. And we take that very seriously and also have a role in crafting documents that go out in terms of your outreach. And we think your website is exactly fits that to a T. So the website, we have procured a designer to set up an external website outside of the City of Santa Cruz site, which would make it a lot more dynamic and interesting. We have a very basic construct. We have no content on it. It's not live. My concern with waiting to make a committee at the next meeting is that it will just sit there fallow for another month. And, I mean, I guess we could put up your meeting information, but there's not really, we're missing a whole month of outreach. So what I'm hoping is that if you agree to set up a committee, you would work with staff, myself, and another person in my office, get together and come up with what you think is appropriate to put up on that website. And you know, sky's the limit, and have that conversation. And I think the quicker we can get that done, the quicker it can become a really viable tool. And we can direct the public there to learn everything about your work, about information you think would be of interest to the community, et cetera. Whether or not that's part of a broader outreach effort, you can decide, but our interest in would be to serve the public and serve you by getting the website up and running as soon as possible. I'll say one more thing on the outreach. I think there was a question about who might staff that. We actually have a community relations person joining our office in a couple of weeks, and I think that would be a great person to work with, the committee, so that would be a staff resource available to you. But I don't know how that will look. You can decide that. But we have thought a little bit about having a very comprehensive effort and having you, your committee, however that looks, with some city staff work on that together. Any questions for me? So that's my pitch to you. We would love to have a website subcommittee so we could get going.
Tina, is the website going to be a link on the city's website, like a part of the city's departments? Or
we, and I should have explained this more fully, we don't want to go that way. It currently is that way. We just have a page for you within the city's website. And what we don't like about that is that our website, if you've been on it, is pretty constrained about what you can do. It's not a real creative, dynamic website. And moreover, you're somewhat independent of the city, too. Even though you are a creature of the city council and an advisory body to the council,
we thought it would really make a lot of sense to have an independent site that could be more dynamic, more engaging. So it would be a separate URL, completely separate, standalone, separately hosted site. Of course, we'll have links from our website to find it, but we hope to have a nice, easy URL, direct people there, and hopefully educate the community to go there for all your information. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, as long as it's clearly identified on the city site, because I think that's where people would go first, either to the council's website or the water department's website. As long as there are prominent links there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We put it on our homepage and on the water department site, city manager site, city council site. And then hopefully over time, your materials might be directing people there, and we could help educate and change that. But that's a great point. Anything else from you? Thank you. Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you.
So?
Sounds like we need a
website.
There's two volunteers.
And that's not necessary to put in the charter the way you have it now. You just decide, right?
Correct.
So, do we have consensus that you want one? Yes, I think. Who's going to be on it?
Well, there's one other thing we need to figure out, even as we're talking about who's going to be on it, and that's whether it's going to be a Brown Act committee or not.
Well,
because I frankly think that it would be would hamper the ability of a website committee to function. But
from what I understand, if you think it's going to last for more than 6 months,
but you have to.
You have to.
Right.
What about the size? Isn't it a certain member size? So can we restrict?
No, even if it's two people, if it lasts for more than 6 months, it's standing. Right. You have to have a SVO.
Well, let's do it for 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, and that's some committee that's got a majority or more has to be, even if it's only for 2 days.
I mean. Okay.
And so then that issue would be the number of people that you want. So your quorum is 10. I'm thinking, yes?
This is a committee for three people. It should be an odd number so they can break disagreements, you know, a discussion if they have to. But it's not going to be a lot of people. It just needs some focus. And I don't see, I trust everybody on this. If any three people here want to volunteer for that, I don't want to particularly because I'm afraid of websites. So, you know, I'm not the right person for this committee. But I'd be happy to have any three people here serve on that because I don't think anybody's going to deliberately slant what goes out or something.
So we have several ideas here. We have, should it be Brown Act? We have, what size should it be? And we have, do we have any volunteers? What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say this.
He was a volunteer.
We just decided to how the subcommittees are going to be formed, so here's our chance to implement it.
Exactly. So but all
I,
those things.
I will volunteer to that. Right?
You will?
I will, yeah.
Anybody else?
I'll do it, too.
Great.
Come on, who's our third?
Sue, if you were going to be the librarian.
I don't think I should.
So, is two enough? All right.
Let's say you start with two, and then if they have problems, come back to us and we'll make a forced decision.
Well, this is
going
to go in the charter.
Just
do
it.
I'm not paying
the
charter. Nothing. You don't have to put any of this in the.
Okay.
So, but what I would like to do is look at the language of what you said you would do and get out my pen. I think this really is in my contract that I'm supposed to get things on a flip chart once in a while. All right, so you have a subcommittee. You have Sarah and it's called the website subcommittee.
Well, it's Sarah with an H, by the way.
Yes, I knew that. And I know it matters.
It does.
It does
in
matter.
A scary way.
There's a story behind it.
So here's the decisions. Tim, not Tim. Your charge is, what is their charge?
Tina, what's our charge? to make a really great website.
Okay. It's, well, I can speak to a couple of things. One, in terms of duration, like we hope that we have this up pretty functional, probably by July. We'll probably have a few iterations in our favorite process where information is added. So if we can get a good sense from the subcommittee, like what went on there, there might be a point where we can just continue that. But the charge would be to, I think, direct the content
advise and direct the website developer, because there we do have a private developer doing this, as to, yeah, structure and content of the website. And, you know, there's a multitude of decisions to make as well. For instance, contact. Do you want people to contact you on the website? If so, who gets that information? Who's going to respond to it? Are all the emails going to you? Do you want to have, you know, Facebook, Twitter? There's all kinds of decision points that we didn't make it would be inappropriate, so we're waiting on. So I would just say, you know, in just general decision-making about how it will be an interactive tool for your work. So that's a lot of words. Sorry, Carrie.
But I think you gave him the sense of what the workload is.
And not designing, not doing the coding at all. We're going to be able to do that, but just telling us what, how you want to represent yourselves by the website.
So, basically, is there a completely credible reason why it could be a temporary website as well?
The committee definitely mentioned being temporary.
Yeah.
And I guess the question for the committee is, do you guys need a website? If we set up a meeting in the next week or two to get started, do you guys want to see, I'm sure you want to be, see it at the next meeting, you know, before it goes live? I mean, that's, I guess, kind of the question that is part of the description of how these subcommittees are going to work.
So what kinds of decisions are you empowering these people to just make with the city, and which kinds of decisions do you want them to cook for you and bring to you for discussion? Generally, yes.
I would trust this committee to make a choice between what are controversial decisions and non-controversial. I think I'm literally even as vague as that, but I'd let them see which of these things would be likely to raise a big debate in this group versus the things that they would imagine. I'll let them use their judgment that are not going to cause problems and that they should just move ahead on it based on their best judgment working with the staff. So I would say the committee is charged with working with the city staff and web developer to produce a website and to bring back any controversial decisions about the website to this committee for resolution. And just leave it at that. And trust that they'll make a lot of decisions they won't be bringing back to us about how the website works and where it's located, what it's linked to, and all of that stuff. They'll bring us back something if they think it's, for example, who to contact. And are we going to respond to emails people send to this website? That's controversial and probably needs to be brought back. But leave it to the committee to work that stuff back.
If the expectation is July, then that's fine. But if it was, you know, we're trying to get a website by the end of May, and controversial decision needs to be made before we meet again, how does that work with
that? I think that should be fine, yeah. The way we have our timeline with the web developers, we don't need to be working with you in our lead time, is to have something basic on and then have it evolve before it's being developed by July. But if you find it's not until September, you know, so be it. But just to keep making it a useful tool as we move on.
Okay, then,
yeah, I would say just that as far as like the Facebook and Twitter and all those things go, I would say just as much as we're able to do to communicate with the public, we should do. As far as contact information, we should probably just decide that now, because that seems like something that is controversial and we can just be done with that decision.
Well, I would propose to go in two stages. The first one is set up the basic static part where we just put things out and there's nothing controversial so far. You know, just when we are meeting, basic information, and then come back to us and give us a few options what dynamics we can implement on the website, because we don't know that yet. And, I mean, there might be some nifty little tools that let us interact with the public, and you know, so that's where we have a clear, it gives you enough to work till the next meeting and get something going, and then from there you can make some basic decisions and you know enough about the website what our options are.
That was actually kind of my answer to my question. Was like, what can we do going in? And basic content, like, you know, putting up the paperwork we have, etc. If that's approved, we can move forward with that. And then maybe some basic design.
I'm just going to wrap that up.
It's appropriate, right?
Go on to David. So what you asked for is, if you're sending us out there, give us some guidance on our scope. And the controversial things you should bring back, the setting up the static
maximizing to Facebook and everybody else that you can, you should use your best judgment. David.
I don't have like final language. I'm just thinking about some of the parameters. And what I would hopefully would see is a balanced presentation of the committee's work that identifies both where we've been and where we're going, and that and provides the information being considered by the committee, even if it's on a controversial topic. There's going to be there could be a broad range of information that the committee is considering. And if the public's going to be engaged in getting information from this website, it would be nice if they could actually read and see a lot of the information that they're considering.
Okay, so that, what I'm hearing is almost like a mission statement. Is that fair, what you just said?
Okay.
As opposed to the advice about what do you bring back and what do you not bring back. So I just want to finish that one before we go on to this.
Okay.
So does this seem, in my horrible scribbles, does this seem like fair advice to our two wonderful subcommittee members? Is this, do you feel secure about that? You're
good
nodding,
question.
But you're not on the subcommittee.
Does it define it enough for the two of you?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
All right. So,
I think we should have a long discussion of the punishments they'll get if they don't. Misunderstand the charge.
Okay, and so then you had a philosophy, if you will. Would you read it again?
Okay, I would like the website to have a balanced presentation of the committee's work, both where we've been and where we are going, and to present the information that is being considered by us, even on controversial topics, but the broad range of information that we think should be considered.
Yeah. Everybody okay with that?
Hard to object to that.
Yeah.
All right. So if you provide that to Nicholas, he'll make sure, or me, we'll make sure it gets into the action agenda properly. Very good. So you've done a couple things. You've finished off one of the sections. You made it shorter. I can't tell you how much I love that. I don't know if you noticed, but you lopped off the whole section.
Yes.
And you created a subcommittee.
Did we clarify whether this is going to be a standing or a temporary subcommittee?
No,
my perception would be that this would be more of a temporary subcommittee, and that the standing subcommittee would be more along the lines of outreach, where we're going to continue to provide content for the website.
Nice.
It's a permanent subcommittee. I might reconsider that.
Which is that I think we're going to need a website committee as long as we're functioning. Because there's going to be constantly new information and different aspects of the topic being presented to us that we're going to need to get posted.
But they're not going
to
be.
We don't have to post everything. I think that's the right idea. If we continue to send you information.
To make sure I understand, Sarah, you're saying that we don't need to keep interfacing anymore.
Sure. If we have a temporary subcommittee, mm-hmm. We're going to continue to send information to the website that needs to be uploaded through the rest of the process, and that will be handled by the city staff.
Can see the subcommittee as setting the pattern.
Right.
Setting the formula, setting the way, the design, the way you want to represent yourselves, and then either this group en masse can make decisions about what else to feed to the website, or maybe that outreach committee idea that communications committee, that might be a great one to kind of just keep it going. But I think there'll be this initial push of effort. Thank you. to get it going, but once you kind of have that mold set, it might be easier to maintain.
So, David, would you like to get that into the sort of mission statement thing, that this is the bootstrapping committee as opposed to the long term?
Well, I think that we could make it a temporary committee for now. One of the things I'm curious about in terms of how the Brown Act works is if we make it a temporary committee and later decide to make it a permanent committee, can that be done?
Yes, we should do a set of stuff. We should have language that sets a sunset to this committee. They will go away in 4 months unless we renew their charge, at which point they will become a permanent committee. It'll have to become a Brown Act committee.
I mean, that would seem to satisfy.
Could we add the word duration then? Committee staff subcommittee shall give them a clear charge, duration, and scope of responsibility?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And so what is the duration of this subcommittee?
I propose 4 months, max. They could end earlier, but that's the longest they could serve without coming back to us for authorization or
approval
status.
4 months? Is 4 months reasonable?
we'd have a little bit of time after it actually gets
Sounds great.
4 months sounds great. It can be extended from what we understand. Okay. So I am hearing two things. I'm hearing something I can't understand, but it's funny. And I'm hearing 4 months and to be extended as necessary. Okay. So
I put it earlier. Should I start 4 months on?
charge, duration, scope of responsibility, website, mission statement, that's an extra, external communication parameters.
We will be communicating with city staff.
Right. And now, are you brown or not brown?
Not brown.
Not brown.
Okay. We're done.
Right?
Right.
Excellent.
Do you want to take a break? No. What do you want to do next? Elevation or relationships? Roles, whatever it's called. If it's roles, I want Nicholas to do it because that was the section that he wrote.
Elevation.
So you want to do elevation? All right. That's the very last section. Nicholas, you can do anything you want with my flow charts. I just have to find them.
Yeah, well, if I put them wherever you see them, then you'll know where they are.
There you go. All right. Nicholas talked about this at some fluency last time. Do we need to discuss the issue overall, or do you want to dive into this section? I now have 2 pairs of glasses.
I was not here last time, of course, but I'm a little confused about how Article 12 works.
Okay.
The first part, or if you will, section A in meeting requests for elevation seems to speak in terms of topics.
Mm-hmm.
And the in between meeting requests for elevation seems to speak in terms of members. It says, any time between meetings, any committee member may request an elevation of any other committee member. So does that mean we can ask any other committee member about a topic that we want to elevate, or that you're elevating the member?
Let me just make sure I'm tracking you right. So this stuff at the beginning sort of says sometimes crap happens, right?
Yep.
And then A says any member may invoke, and B says any committee member may request. So I'm not tracking it.
Okay. At the beginning of Article 12, it says significant contentious issues may arise between members.
Mm-hmm.
And at A, the in-meeting request for elevation seems to talk about the issues. But B says any committee member may request an elevation of any other committee member. It doesn't say of an issue with any other committee member.
I think it's a
style call. Well, I just was reading it literally, and so I didn't understand how you would elevate a member. Didn't get it.
Hang them up by their heels.
It actually is English, sorry.
For years.
It's what you want it to be. And so the language needs to be tightened up. Do you need this provision at all? Yes.
Maybe. I want to answer something else first, which is, it seems like, kind of the first step that I'm used to is just asking somebody out for coffee. And that's not in here really yet. I mean, the closest thing is under B, that any committee member may request an elevation, i.e. a meeting
with another committee member. But then there's other things underneath that that you now you need to report in writing and so on. I would like at least the spirit of this to be that, you know, we just do what people do, which is try to meet with each other. And if we want to facilitate or to join us, that we ask that. And then, you know, if that doesn't work, then we kind of turn to something more formal.
I would like to understand the difference in how we function, whether we have this or not. I mean, how do we deal with conflicts if we don't have this report?
Mike wants to answer that.
Do it in your meeting and in front of the public, and you like have your fight out right there in front of everybody, rather than trying to work it out somewhere between the two people that are having a personality conflict or a conflict about, you know, the way they've expressed their views about the other person's views. It's kind of basically, I think Rick's got the right concept here. It's like we need a provision that says if we're having non-substantive, it's not about the subject that we're supposed to be working on, we're having relationship problems here, we're not getting along, and it ends up disrupting the ability of the committee to do its work, that we recognize that can happen. If that happens, that there's an obligation of these people to try and take it outside the room, which is not a fist fight, but go fix it over coffee. And as Rick said, to ask for staff help if they need it. I don't know if we'll have chairs, but typically a chair might go with them and fix that or try and resolve it or something. But I think that's the spirit of what we're trying to do here. And I thought Rick's thing is close to a better way to do it, kind of make it simpler and just make clear that we don't want to spend a lot of this committee time fixing personality fights, which could happen. We don't know that they will, but if they do happen, we'd rather the people that are involved in it, we can help them. First, with just together or with one person, or if we, worst comes to worst, maybe we have to appoint a committee to go sort it out or something.
Get a marriage counselor or something.
Yeah, we have one.
Did I see your hand over here? Doug? Yes.
I'm wondering if I kind of took to heart what Nicholas said yesterday about this, and maybe a little fearful that if we don't have something set up. And it sent me back to reading the introductory paragraph, which says basically you take care of this, but sometimes you can't. And this is for those times when you can't take care of it. And so I wonder if the experience of others might be informative about this procedure.
Would you like his opinion?
Well, I think, yeah. Do you want to add to the discussion, Nicholas?
I think we're still really at David's core question, which is, how would life be different if you had this?
The reason that we really want, I'll speak for myself, the reason that I really wanted to put this in is because it's very important that everybody on the committee feel that you can deal with anything. If you can deal with it by going out for coffee, that's fine. Go right ahead. But if there's something that you've just got to deal with and you don't know how to raise it, you don't know... I described it as the four-wheel drive vehicle of the... it's like this one will take you into the mud and out of it the other side. That's what we wanted. So that you don't see, oh, it's muddy, I'm not going there. You know, you can't say that. If it's muddy, you've got to say, oh, it's muddy. Here we go. Because that's what... that's what you've got to deal with. That's who you are. Welcome to the waters flying by your knees. You know, that's what you're going to be doing.
Flying into the mud.
So, yes.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have something like this in there. I mean, this charter is kind of akin to a social contract between us, our group here. And if you had a legal document, you would have a dispute resolution clause in the contract itself. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of functions in that regard, I think. You know, obviously, you know, even if you have a contract and you have a dispute, you're going to deal with it externally, simply, like humans, first. And then, if you absolutely have to go there, it's like a last resort, you go there. And I think that's what this is.
Can I add something else? You know, when you started to talk about regular contracts and you have a dispute resolution thing, normally you get to the dispute resolution clause because you've messed up.
Yeah.
This is not about messing up. This is about standing up. This is about standing up. It's not about making a mistake or being an idiot or...
It's still a good analogy. I like what you're saying. Yeah. So his analogy is
Oh, it's still, yes, it's still a useful analogy, but when I see that, when I see a dispute resolution clause in a contract, it's normally in the part which says, and when you mess up, here's how we'll sort it out. And I don't want you to think of this as being...
No, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're not seeking some kind of remedy or punishment for that kind of... It's not a negative.
Exactly.
This is used to move past an obstacle rather than to punish someone for misbehaving.
I like the intention and the structure. I would propose a more positive spin on it rather than elevating a contentious issue, what we call conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much describes what it is. We're not getting along.
Let's work it out. That was what we originally called it. I think somebody, maybe the female in the team, said that it should be something else.
For the sake of clarity, maybe things a little more compact, I would propose to combine A and B and go kind of in Rick's direction.
Mm-hmm.
We have two stages. There's a problem. Try to work it out and take Rick along, maybe a professional here. And if that doesn't work, go the next step and get one of you or chair or whatever it takes and have a formal process. And so we don't have to. It doesn't get too complicated, because right now you have to read two pages to figure out.
Yeah, it does seem a bit ponderous.
Yeah.
So, what I think would be efficient would be for us to try to write what you asked us to write, because it seems to be in line with what other people are saying, and then you look at it after your break.
Excellent.
But I saw another hand.
Well, I was just thinking, I mean, I think the hierarchy that made sense was working out between the parties, get help from somebody else on the committee or from the facilitators, take it to create a committee to resolve the problem. I mean, I think that's the sort of increasing level of attention that needs to be brought to it. Because you can imagine that some of the facilitator, one of us tries to mediate or work it out or get these people to listen to each other or understand what they're not communicating. It doesn't work, so now you got to go to another level or something. But.
So basically you're taking 5 and 6, say, under A, and making that into a subcommittee.
8, 5, and 6, you're saying?
Yeah, or could even be 4. So, because that wasn't in here so far, so I just wanted to make it clear.
Yeah, that is where it is, yes.
That seems... So that means that you can't have the conversation until you have the next full session.
Well, no. I was thinking of getting Rick correct me if I'm not getting it right, but you know, it starts with an informal process where two people, you know, get clear that there's a problem that needs to be talked about. And it's, we use the word elevation, it can't get easily fixed in the meeting for a variety of whatever the reason is. So the other options you've got are to try and fix it outside of the meeting. I wouldn't have timelines and all this sort of legalistic stuff. I would say it should be fixed before the next meeting. That's the goal. If at all possible, resolve before the next regular meeting of the committee. And that's a loose guideline without actually specifying. It must be done by 7 days.
So we have the idea of actually creating a formal subcommittee in here. Let's just hold that because Dave's had his hand up for a while.
The term that I like in place of the word elevation is part of what Charlie had, which is just resolution. Because then if the article becomes resolving contentious issues, then you're dealing with that people are having an issue between them that needs resolution. Mm-hmm. And as much as I like Rick's idea about the coffee clutch, or you know, as the process, I would think that if people have an issue that they think they could resolve over coffee, they would do that on their own. The point of having a provision in here about this is when people aren't feeling that they can resolve it on their own, they want the help of a facilitator of some sort to help them resolve what is a thorny issue. So, if somebody, you know, is actually coming to the committee or to our facilitators and saying, hey, I have an issue with this person, and I'm not comfortable with it, and I need help working it out, I would not turn to them and say, well, why don't you go out for coffee and talk with them about that, you know, talk about it with them. You know, that's when they're asking for help.
Right. Well, let's do what you just did and draw a picture of how this could happen. So it could happen, you say something entirely inflammatory, and Sid, you go slapping an Article 12 on you, and then a discussion happens about, you know, how to proceed. I think that's probably one of the less likely scenarios. I think it's probably, not that you were saying that that would happen, it's probably more likely that at the end of a meeting, there's going to be some fomentation. So I'm a little bit concerned about having to have the next meeting before you can form the subcommittee to deal with. What do you, when you look at that, maybe Dana, because it made sense to you, or Rick, Sid, what do you, how do you envision this happening, if it did? The best would be if it didn't, I suppose. But if it did happen, how do you envision it?
Well, I guess I'm not as concerned of you know, deciding right there and then at the meeting. In fact, I can see drawbacks to that. It's kind of embarrassing, you know, and, yeah. And it's a little hard. So I would think that if somebody thinks they want to deal one-on-one, great. You know, if they want help, that they go to the facilitators and then try to set up a meeting, you know, and certainly before the next meeting. And then, you know, if there's not, it's still unresolved, boy, then we got something for the whole committee. Yeah, all right, let's appoint a subcommittee.
Okay.
And to take it a step further, I mean, there's a part of me that's saying, you know, if somebody has a problem and they raise it, whether at the end of a meeting or in between meetings, if they contact you and say, I have an issue with so-and-so, can you help out? I would think that, you know, that's the kind of thing that you can schedule a meeting between you and the two of them and, you know, work it
we
out.
We don't need the article.
And if we don't need to hear about it, great. Yeah, I mean, let them work it out. And only bring it to the committee if there's a good reason to bring it to the committee. Otherwise, let the facilitator do their job and help people work it out.
So that would be the let's talk about two other things. There's a scenario where the problem is between Adam and Julie, but another committee member wants to raise that it's something that needs to be resolved. So all this article does is to kind of create that structure within that.
Isn't Nicholas telling us basically this isn't all negative?
Right.
Your alternative is two people are having a tension. You cut the air with a knife between, or through three people for that matter, or four. You can just kind of pretend like there's not this elephant in the room. You keep on doing your business. Meanwhile, they keep making sniping comments at each other. At some point, the rest of us are getting pretty fed up with it. But you want to create something in this set of bylaws or, you know, that we're establishing our rule or charter that says, in effect, don't let that happen. You know, where your meetings just go on with people hostile to each other and they use subtle means to, like, dig at each other and do those kinds of things. Bring it out. Fix it. You know, figure out how you can move on in a way that's respectful and you can still have your differences. We're not, and that was his main point. Don't make that difference go away or pretend like you don't have a difference about something, but find a way to communicate about it in a way that's not disruptive and bothersome to everybody else on the committee. So I think that's the reason to have something here that says, yes, we don't want to just be a committee that buries our problems and limps along without having to, like, confront them or something. But I think we're getting close to an idea about the way we're going to resolve it. It does not have to be that complex. Having made the statement that we want to resolve these things rather than let them carry on.
I'm a bit confused.
Sorry.
About where we are now. I thought we were at the, I'll try writing this up, and I was thinking it was all very simple because it was going to be the, you know, do coffee and move on up. I think we're dropping the let's create a subcommittee idea. I think that you two still are moving towards we don't need it at all.
No, I'm not moving there.
Okay.
Where I'm moving at is that if there is a resolution needed, that whether it's the people who are in the conflict or somebody else thinks that, you know, a third party thinks that those two need to work it out, that the process be that you can talk to the facilitators about it, and the facilitators can try to figure out how appropriately to deal with it, whether they can deal with it privately with the people or if they need to bring it back to the committee.
Yeah, okay. So that's more comfortable. Comfortable's good. All right. Let me just point out one other piece about this.
is that the there's a pretty powerful system that is put in here, which is once that's been invoked, then you can't, as a committee, proceed until it gets resolved. So, did you notice that?
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
Somebody, let's hear from some other people.
We'll proceed on what? I mean, on that specific issue, maybe not. But anything.
No.
I don't think our work should stop because one issue can't be resolved.
Say what?
I don't think all of our work should be done because one issue is firmly.
Okay.
I would also prefer to have timelines in there.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I never had it actually happening in any of the committees I've been on, and they were contentious. And never happen, so I wouldn't even put that much attention. But I think we have a basic understanding of a basic structure we want to have, and maybe add to this that it can be invoked also by a third party, or to you, and then we have it all covered.
And I think if we, instead of the timeline, if we simply say that the facilitator shall act to bring it promptly to resolution, give you a guideline, but not, you know, not
a deadline, no
quantitative.
Well, especially because it may take more than one meeting.
Right.
You had a thought.
Well, I was just saying, as long as it doesn't last 6 months or a year, we're fine. But I think that we all want to work towards having that happen and having all this proceed forward. So that's the expectation going in. We're here to help resolve issues that come up as well. So the spirit of, you know, our consensus building is kind of built into the rest of the charter as well. So I agree. I don't think a specific end date is necessarily the most productive.
I think the thing that is going on here is there's the within 7 days, which is basically don't let it fester. And you want that out.
Yeah, I would just say promptly.
Promptly. Mm-hmm. And then you don't like the report and writing stuff?
No.
Out. That's out. And then you certainly don't like the everything comes to a screeching halt.
No.
Do you like the that part? No screeching halts at all.
You know, I think we trust the facilitators, to know if there's something really big getting in the way of our work, and for you to point that out. You know, if you think that we're stuck and we need to move on, you know, to work something out.
Okay, so we're good. We're pretty good so far. So discretion is the better part of valor. I know how to write this now, but let me talk about B because, well, let me talk about the instance where it's happening between the meetings and one committee member is saying this is an issue, I want to invoke an Article 12. What I think I'm hearing from you all is just do it like you normally would for crying out loud. You're mediators, you can figure it out. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't think it's going to matter whether it comes up at a meeting or in between meetings. In the end, it's going to deal with it pretty much the same way.
Okay.
Wouldn't
I think I know how to.
Wouldn't the process still be the same, in or out of the meeting?
Yeah, I think it's getting to be at this point. So I think I know how to write this now, which means two things. It would make me so happy if you would open your little leg eyes and play with them. I'm not sure I can meet Rosemary's expectation of having a clever exercise this time around, but one of these days I will. Yeah, open them up. Take a break, write on the dialogue maps. Be ready to resolve this section when we get back, and then Nicholas is going to take over with the roles.
Is this stuff sticky? That's what it's
perfect. No, it won't get you dirty.
No, what's it pushes? I guess I'm just asking.
It's creative.
You're supposed to make sculptures of our ideas?
Sure.
So we'll come back in 10 minutes.
We'll come back at 7:05. That's 20 minutes. And I want you to think about how you're going to manage the piddly parts of the charter that you're not going to get to at this meeting.
I'm sorry.
Unless we want to put
this in. Unless we want to put this in. Waiting for this committee.
Well, sure.
You don't want
to. It's not here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do want to.
He's starting to come back.
Yeah, if I don't write this down, I will probably forget. So. It's just a little bit of happiness. What was your happiness name again?
It's second to vote with a letter to you.
So you've got a lot of chance.
Thank you. I love no one.
actually, and I actually talked about this when I interviewed.
Oh, yes. So when I'm doodling, I'm not really about things. I actually pay attention more. Or just playing with people more.
Is it time for me to?
At the end of the meeting, you have to sing karaoke.
I think it's a good one. Let's start! You guys want to get to stuff tomorrow.
Alright. This got pretty short. I changed it from... it was resolving contentious issues, but essentially that's your job for the next year and a half, so that seems kind of funny. So with your permission, I just called it resolving contention, because all right. And all it says is what you can read there.
So would you replace elevation with resolution?
what's the resolution provisions? Yeah.
And B, there's two locations.
So maybe we'll do that.
What do you mean? Sub B, delete elevation, replace with resolution.
Just have a quick point of order. Nicholas. We've been kind of going through the dialogue maps and the development of the charter. We haven't gotten public comment yet. I just want to make sure that we do that in time for that, in case there are members of the public here that might want to speak.
Thank you. So, do we have any desire for making public comments today?
Does anyone have?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. May I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm Reed Searle. Two comments, one very brief. I hope if you have a chance to err, you will err on the side of putting absolutely everything on the website. Unfortunately, and this is what I want to talk about, otherwise, I was able to hear most of what happened this morning, earlier this afternoon. And I know that, for instance, there was a letter from the mayor, and it was in your packet, but the public didn't have one. It would be really nice if that were done. As to hearing, I don't know if this is a violation of the Americans with Disability Act or not. I do not know. But what I do know is that there are half a dozen people here who would love to hear what's going on, but miss a good hunk of it. And whether it's a violation of the rules or not, it would be awfully nice if something done. I understand it may be a move to a different venue where there will be a hearing or mics available, but it really is a disservice to those of us who are unfortunate enough to be both old and disabled. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Paul Gratz, and I second what Reed was going to say, and I've heard it from other people that have left, so I'm sure you all got the message. For the venues. Also, I want to encourage the optimal amount of publicity and outreach for the next meeting and from then on. The publicity the community deserves special focus and opportunity to participate. And I think that what I mean is optimal, I mean with the water bills, any articles, news releases that come out about the drought, focus people that they know that they can get involved and participate on many levels, and outline what those levels are, please. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Reed, I wonder if it would work better for you to sit by where Rosemary is.
You have to be a co-chair.
Reed, I do recommend it. When you have a wall right behind you, I've been able to hear much better.
You know, one of the things is that we heard yesterday that hearing was a problem, and we actually rearranged the room with, and it's not enough. We'll do more. But the idea was that the sound from the committee members would come here, and apparently there's also an acoustic benefit to having the wall behind you. So I do invite you for the rest of this meeting, please. She's not bad. You can sit next to her.
Oh, that's okay with me. My,
I have my food.
My hearing assist right there. Here.
That's
okay.
Thank you.
It was returned to me by the pulver.
Ah.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you for your point of order.
Have you opened your Play-Doh, though? I don't know.
We've been sharing.
Yeah. That's even better. All right, so here we are. We've changed elevation to resolution. Take a minute and read this and see if it suits you.
So what are the elevation provisions about?
It's going to change that word.
Oh, we cover it, yeah. I need to get rid of all the elevations, right? So we're going to pull that resolution.
I think any member may... I think it is... Once the resolution provision is invoked, the situation, the dissension must proceed promptly to resolution, and that's the provision. That's it.
Yeah. And the procedure for invoking the provision is to notify one of the facilitators?
Yes.
So we need language in there that that's
how you so do it. So we'd say something like, by
what?
Notify one of the facilitators. This is good. If you like it, put your dough in front of you like that. Oh, but you don't have to destroy it. You can't. You're out of it. You're what is it standing aside now?
I can see the point.
As a point of order, you have. You should have received from Clark a copy of all the changes that were made yesterday. So I'm going to leave Nicholas the delight of going through those and making sure, aside from typos, that it's okay. Doug took care of the typos. Thank you.
Could I request that be sent to us via email and a electronic file?
I'll do that.
Great, thanks.
And so, because I'm a good guy, the calendar.
You're going to do it?
I'm going to do it.
So my generosity.
Can you flash up the calendar? And if you need to access the web to get your...
Oh, yes. Here it is. Wi-Fi. La Feliz is the name of the Wi-Fi system, and the password is la-feliz.
So, you know that...
Feliz Wi-Fi.
In your application, you put your available times, and that was a long time ago, so those may have changed. Looking at the application, we said Thursday evening, Friday afternoons would work. They don't work so well for Dana because his Fridays that he's free aren't completely consistent. They don't work so well for Mark because sometimes there's planning commission meetings. That's what's happening tonight. And if we try to accommodate, and I've got it all mapped, every possible month for the next year, and there's some places where we might run into problems with Christmas and Thanksgiving. So the first question is, generally speaking, do you like the evening, afternoon option, or are there any do you want to make radical changes, or should we try and just massage what we have to make it work? You look confused.
Can I ask, the way you describe it, Mark couldn't have problems with Thursdays, but that's Thursday evening. They meet at 7 o'clock, typically, not at like 5 or something.
And it's not every Thursday. No, I actually have a list of the...
It's twice a month on Thursdays. I don't know which Thursdays, but...
The funny thing is that Dana's Fridays, in theory, are every other Friday, not like the second and fourth Friday. So that throws us off a little bit.
But what I'm asking, I assume people have work conflicts if you try and meet before 5:30, right?
But let me just ask this first question. Does anybody want to make a radical change to the program, or are we looking at tweaking it if we can?
Do you have a sense of what is going to work? I would like, rather than to kind of start with a wide open slate here, do you have an idea?
Yeah. It's either Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Oh, I thought you wanted to tip over the apple cart. Yeah, they're all on the Google Calendar till time immemorial, if that's what you want. Yeah. I'll resend you the link. Okay. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, that was easy.
Well, this is May. It's not showing up now. It's showing up here. Okay. I don't know how to get this on. Oh, maybe we just need to roll the screen up.
There's a thought. Go ahead. So here's the thing. Typically, it would be Thursday evening and Friday afternoon at Bazaar towards the end of the month. Compromises between what we think Dana's schedule is and what we think the late planning commission.
All right.
We didn't have rooms. Yeah.
I'll just say that I'm happy to rearrange my schedule to the extent possible to be here.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like, for example, tomorrow and today as well. I was in Sacramento today. I have to go back to Sacramento tomorrow, and then I'll be here in the afternoon. But it happens pretty frequently that things come up that I need to be there for. And I have some standing meetings that are on Fridays that I just have to be there. But, you know, I don't think that we should rearrange, you know, 13 people's schedule just to accommodate me.
And you didn't think I was blaming you, right?
No, I'm just saying I'm just offering to do the best I can to make that schedule work.
So it sounds like we're okay with generally, yes?
You know my preference that I run a business during the day. I kind of anticipated evening meetings when I signed up. I will work around with the group. But if there is a question of preference, it would be for evening meetings.
Any other thoughts along those general? Yeah.
In general, if in a given week we could keep them clustered like this, it's a good thing, because I may be out of town for weeks at a time, and I will come back for the meetings, but it would be nice not to be too throwing to them.
There's another, if you could, so as you see right now, we're set up for 29th and 30th at the end of May. If you go to June,
there you go.
Nicholas, you love Google Calendar. This is great.
I put on it.
So, '26 and '27 are okay. And if you go to July, I think that's where. Yeah.
So it's 29th and 30th. Sorry, I can't see that. You know, the 29th, what time?
Oh, it would be 5:30 to 8:30 on the Thursdays, and
2 to 5
on the afternoons, which was actually an attempt to at least not take the midday of your workday.
So no Wednesdays, you said?
Well, here's the deal. Coming up in July is one of those clashes where there's a planning commission meeting on one of Dana's free Fridays. So we could either move it to the 31st and the 1st. We can say, too bad, Mr. and Ms. C.B. Miller. Or we can move one of the meetings to the Wednesday. There's something to be said for consistency in terms of the poor public.
What was wrong with the 24th and 25th?
I'm assuming that Dana's not available then, because he's only available every other Friday.
And I have a conflict on the 30th of July.
Okay, so let's just stick with what we have.
I have a conflict on the 17th. But.
Well, the Sue wanted to say something.
I was going to say that if that's actually in mid-July instead of late July, like the pattern we seem to be otherwise setting up, I'm going to miss both the June and the July.
Oh, that's not good. So you said you're not available.
The 30th.
Oh, well, that's okay. How about if well, we do it the Thursday and Friday, 31st and 1st?
That's fine. You were just talking about moving it to Wednesday. So I'm
I'm sorry to make you go back. So I've got the May dates. What are the June dates?
Oh, should we go back to June? No, we should solve this problem and then we should go back to June.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So this one, I'm going to move this to the 24th, to the 31st and the 1st.
Maybe you can make
it. I will be on the, definitely the 1st. Probably the 1st. But I don't know if this is July.
We should. So.
Calendaring can be
I think
the rest of the agenda.
That you. Losing you is the least damage so far. So let's go with...
We'll make up for it with web.
So hit the save button.
Yeah, we'll make up for it with web meetings.
And... So, we're good. I think being good through July, and I'm going to send you the link to the Google Calendar, you can see them for time immemorial. The other thing about scheduling, and go back to June, yes, sir.
Well, I wasn't trying to fight for data.
No, but I like this. Doug was looking out for you.
Thank you.
So
what? Are we going to have the wars in June?
26, 27
is June.
Yeah, I won't be.
Okay.
I'm fine for those days.
All right, so we will have. So those of you who can come, do, because we're already down to 12, quorum-wise.
The next months that are complicated are like November and December. You want to go that
far? So just the last thought about meetings is field trips came up in the interviews, and Nicholas and I know how important they are, and we love them ourselves. City wants to do field trips, too. Apparently, there's something about what you would want to see that requires pretty much a full day trip.
And a lot of riding in the car during that kind of car vehicle.
What's your opinion about when people imbibe that wisdom? Is it better earlier? Does it come okay in the middle?
It's really a logistics issue, and it should work probably whenever.
You're talking about the same sort of commissioners, yeah?
I'm not sure what the commissioners got because I've only been here 3 months. How you might be able to answer that question?
Very similar.
It's something that people should do early.
Something people should do early. And so if you were going to do a full day field trip, I'm guessing it should be a Saturday.
What they've done in the past, so everybody knows, is when new water commissioners are seated, they usually will take out two or three at a time in a four-wheel drive with someone from the department, and they start way up on the North Coast, and they take you literally to all the facilities, from the North Coast. The only thing you don't visit are the Bell's Wells, but you visit the diversion plants, the water treatment plant, the Loch Lomond, the different North Coast sources. It basically gives you a sense of what the water system is in all its little components. So that you have a clue what you're talking about, and you realize its dimension, whether you think it's great or small.
How long does that take?
Because of the way things are spread out, you can start at 8 o'clock in the morning and finish at 4 p.m.
So, am I right? That's a Saturday activity.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
And when do you want to do that?
June 28th.
Who wants to do that?
Oh,
why don't you just keep a 4-day sign up with Rosemary?
And you're gone, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But are there other tours available? I mean, it's just all for water commissioners. There might be we might not have to go all at one altogether.
I think one of the issues is that there has to be some noticing of this, of what's happening because of the Brown Act.
Well, wait.
No, no.
Are there
10
people who want to go?
The way it's usually been done in the past is that there'll be one person from the department and two or three people in the car.
Wait. Okay, hold on a sec, because I have a couple interests from a facilitator point of view. How many people want to go? One, two, three. That's half. Four.
Yeah, give me half.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Half.
So that's not a quorum.
Not here.
I would prefer, from a staff point of view, to do it at once as opposed to in, you know.
Dribs and drabs.
Yeah.
All right.
Would you prefer a weekday? It's okay for a staff.
It probably doesn't matter at this point. There's probably no day that, you know, Saturday's probably as good as any.
And so I heard a proposal from Sarah with an H. You actually have 2 weeks.
Yeah, but we lost two of the people who wanted to go, so.
You
I'm appealing my day.
Oh.
But I nominated the 24th of May.
I'm getting that.
24th of May is the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, it's early this year.
Yep.
So it is.
The 31st.
Well, that's why we're meeting on week.
I had been thinking that if you were giving up a day for a field trip, you would be less likely to want to spend the usual amount of time at the actual committee meeting. Is that correct?
No.
No. Okay. So, in theory, you could do it on the 31st.
Yep.
And then that's all together, which Doug likes.
Is there, might there be an option of having at least two groups and one goes during the week?
Oh.
I prefer the week. I prefer a weekday.
Well, I think when
if I'm alone, I consent.
No, I think that was standing aside or standing
okay.
In the truck. Perhaps there are some options that could be tailored for you, but
I could do either one. So, if you wanted to take a couple on weekday,
all right. Let's just pretend we're all doing it together, and that there aren't. Well, let's just pretend that nine or fewer people are doing it together. Right? So, and that it would be on the 31st. And then you gluttons, would still be meeting on these 2 days and get all that work done. That's great, because when Nicholas and I heard it was a whole day, we were thinking that you were going to lose a month. And you're not, because you're committed to this. All right.
Good question.
Yeah.
Is anybody outraged that I've seen this six times and don't want to go again?
I
don't
think we're going.
I just figured you.
David and I are going.
I just said he's not going for the same reason.
I'd like to elevate this.
I'm going to make you go with us.
I'll get the coffee.
They made me go every time I got elected, even though I'd seen it five more times or something.
Can Melanie Mayer come along?
I don't get it. All right. Do you
want to
take over?
Okay. So we're only scheduling through July.
I have the other dates on the calendar,
okay.
But I just couldn't bear to take more time on it.
That's okay.
So I owe you two emails. I owe you...
Link to the calendar for everybody.
And the Word document that is in your packet.
Right. As you update the bylaws.
Yeah.
Do you want to go over the stuff from yesterday or do you want to bring it to the wall?
I can go to the top. I mean, we do need to do that. I don't think I have a copy of it, but
I think I can trust you.
Yeah.
So, the stuff from yesterday, in other words, is it just one page to do something? Great.
I wish you didn't mean to imply that you didn't do a lot of work yesterday.
Which I'm interested by how clever you are to condense it. So, yesterday you made decisions. You reached decisions about changes, or not really changes, but parts of the charter. And you got this two-sided sheet today. I just want to go through it with you to make sure that when Carrie did this, when Carrie condensed and cleaned up what we worked on last night, she got it right. Have you had it? Do you all have a copy of this? Does anybody not have a copy of it? Let's go through it from the top. First of all, there's the glossary, what's consensus, and what ex officio means. The important thing about ex officio, the addition to ex officio was that in the case of consensus, an ex officio member will support the committee member's search for consensus, but will not advocate for a particular option. There was a concern about that. Any doubts about the way that we phrase that? Good. I should go back, actually, to the consensus one. This is the glossary. We're describing what we mean by consensus. And we added, consensus can include standing aside. This came up just a moment ago. In which one or more parties says, I am not going to block this, but I am willing to let it go. However, I want my non-agreement to be noted. So that's what we mean by standing aside.
Change the but to an and, it'll be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to speak up.
Change the but to an and, it will read better.
Yeah. Also, at the end of the ex officio one, there needs to be an apostrophe after the
reading.
Hey, I remember, we're not allowed to do that. No messing around with spelling. Then, A3D, the director of water department ex officio members.
Back on the definition of ex officio, I really think the opening clause there on the added sentence should read, as regards decision making, because it's not just the consensus option of a decision, it's any of our decision making. As regards decision making, the ex officio member will support the committee member's search for agreement, but will not advocate for a particular option.
So, because you're recognizing that you have the opportunity to not go to consensus, but to go to voting instead.
Or sense of the meeting.
Or sense of the meeting.
Which is right, every time.
Yes.
In
the church, I think what Doug is saying is yes,
I've said
that.
And tell me the language.
As regards decision making, it's probably on that note.
Yeah, it is. I'm not. That's more.
Okay.
And then the next bit is more about the director of the water department, ex officio member, where we're simply repeating what we've just discussed, which is her role is to support the committee as they seek consensus, or really as they reach agreement, is the way that should go, right? Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When you say that the ex officios will not advocate for a particular option, does that bar them from making a recommendation as to what they think is the better option?
What do you think?
I can answer a question.
I think the problem is one of timing, because it's always appropriate for any expert you've got to tell you, we've got six options here, this is the nature of each of them. I think option four makes a great deal of sense. But then they have to stop, and we have our discussion. At that point, they shouldn't come back into that discussion and try to influence, keep pressuring us that we ought to go with option four or whatever it is. So I think that's the point of their distinction. You don't want to stop experts from telling you what their best advice is. I mean, they're going to tell you what they tell you. But they shouldn't be part of the debate, let's call it a debate, or the discussion we're having about so they have a right to make recommendations before we start a process of deciding which of them we're going to choose. They shouldn't be weighing in that discussion. Is the intent here.
Does that make sense?
That's what people were saying last time, I think. It was going on.
That makes sense to me, much more than saying that they cannot tell you what they think is the preferred option.
Well, okay, so what does that
mean? I think advocate is.
Well, advocate is okay because the advocate, as long as it's clear that that's not, that doesn't bar them from presenting or recommending, which is different than advocating.
So her role is to support the committee as they. Reach agreement, that may include making recommendations, but won't include advocacy.
Do you need that? Do you want that in there?
As long as we have a common understanding, I don't care.
Anybody concerned about this? It looks like you've got a common understanding of this, and so we don't need to go to the words.
Is Rosemary concerned about it?
No.
That will not lobby for a particular option.
No.
You like to say lobby instead of advocate, or use the word lobbying instead of advocate?
You could read it either way.
Well, those are very different things, actually. Advocating speaks to what's going on at the meeting. Lobbying tends to speak to what's not going on, what's going on outside the meeting. So since we're talking about rules for discussion at the meeting and how we reach consensus, advocate would be very much the term to use.
Well, and it's broad. It could be an umbrella for both.
Well, we have a whole different section of the articles that talks about how we relate with city staff and how things happen outside the meetings that we're going to talk about separately.
That's coming up soon, yeah.
So it sounds like we're okay with just saying, just dealing with it as advocacy rather than including lobbying as an issue. So moving on, the quorum. You decided that the quorum would be 10. So if there are at least 10 members at the meeting, that was your decision about that. For the decision-making process, there's quite a lot of highlight on here. So the preferred decision tool, that one you took as it was, essentially, arrive at a sense of the meeting. Number two, consensus is highly desirable. And then we describe consensus and standing aside. Number three, informal voting may only be used to explore the decision space. We discussed that. Then lastly, formal voting may be used as a fallback when consensus fails, as long as there is consensus that a vote should take place. The voting shall be by a supermajority of 10. How are we doing? Any objections? Okay.
Doug had a suggestion that instead of just skipping the consensus as highly desirable, it says if the committee...
Good luck. If the committee can't...
Go ahead, Doug.
If the committee can't achieve a sense of the meeting, then consensus comes next. It makes clear there really is a hierarchy here beyond the numbering. A statement of fact that consensus is desirable, I didn't think really advanced the argument.
So you would say that the wording should be...
Consensus is second best to sense of the meeting.
Okay.
Well,
the essence of
on
it.
On here, that there is a hierarchy.
It does say that. If you look at the language that's up there that I just typed in, is that okay with you? All it is just better English. You think it is better.
Then it shall seek consensus, period.
Consensus.
Okay. I think that was what I was trying to say.
Yes.
Might have been what I scribbled.
Is that okay with you, Erica?
That's good.
And then the last item is to do with notes. With respect to notes, including action-only minutes and a record of standing aside, as defined in the glossary, they will be prepared, dot, dot, dot. And that's, where does that get slipped in? Article 9.
In how we do notes and stuff.
Okay.
I promised Charlie I would do it.
Oh, this is Charlie's section. This is pretty a good clarification. Any concerns, objections? Then let's move on. So the next deal. Remember we did the probation. We called it something else. We did the subcommittee. Something else, but now we've got to the roles and communication. This is Article 4, which is on page 3.
Before we move on, we have a small objection.
Just a question.
Yeah.
It says the voting shall be by a supermajority. It's not the voting by a supermajority.
The decision.
The decision shall be made by a supermajority.
The decision shall be made by a supermajority. Nice catch.
He called it.
Why die? So the decision shall be made by supermajority. Then, I was just thinking when last night as I was plunging into sleep, you did not sign up for this stuff. You know, you signed up to talk about water, and here we are talking about, I don't know, but anyway, we've got to do it. I'm really glad.
That's weird.
We'll get through it as quick as we can. So this one, the roles and communication section, there are various subsections. We describe sort of how we handle roles and communications between the committee and the city council, between the committee and the city, which we mean the administrative staff of the city, the committee and other entities that significantly influence water policy. And then who the facilitators are allowed to talk to, and then committee member to committee member. What's that going to look like? And then committee to the public, and then, you know, it goes on and on, and then city staff. What do they have to do? So there's a huge range in here, and it's really What we're trying to do is sustain a collaborative environment, despite the fact that real life is going on and we're sort of bumping up against each other, and then we've got the Brown Act that we've got to worry about, and there's all sorts of stuff going on. There's a lot of moving parts here, and we just want to make sure that when we engage, there's this sort of sweet whirring sound and no grinding. So I guess we'll just take from the top. And the one at the top was the committee and the city council. It goes on to the next page as well, but we'll let's just take it from the top. So the members of the city council will or will not speak or actively participate in meetings except to, you know, fill in the blank. So what do you think about this?
Wouldn't you just say they will not unless they're requested to?
You could.
They may be invited to speak.
Yeah, so then they do it.
May be invited.
So, say.
So members of the city council may be invited to speak, but I mean, it's like, that's kind of what Sid was saying. So, except he started out by saying, keep quiet, let's re-invite you.
Yes, the right
David. Since the majority of the city council can't come in mass, because of the Brown Act things, why should the city council be different than any other citizen if they want to come to the meeting, sit, and address us at the appropriate time?
Well, would it be during public comment?
Is that really
well, let's hear.
Completely undermines the work of this committee if the group you're reporting to comes and starts to tell you what they want you to do. So I don't think council members should come here and speak to us. They have all kinds of fora. They can publish op-ed pieces. They got to speak at public meetings in the council. They can deride our activities. They can do whatever the heck they want. But to come here and try and tell us, here's what I'd like you to bring us. Now, we might have a question about deadlines, when do you need something by, et cetera. It's not like, you know, they're silenced. You can never answer informational requests. But I don't think they should come in here and lobby us about stuff. They're going to take our report and decide what to do with it. They shouldn't be on the front end of it telling us what they want, what's the point of our existence if they come in. And to be clear about how this works, some member of this committee asks a council member to come. That's the way it works in the real world. Asks a council member to come down here and share their point of view, and it has an extra weight to it because the mayor's talking to us or whatever. So I think they should not be invited to come speak to us. We can't legally stop them from coming and saying something, but we should make clear that we don't welcome their input in this process. They've given us a charge. We're going to carry it out. That's what I think.
Thank you.
And they would come and tell us deadlines or dates or factual stuff that we need to know from them or something.
So I guess by invitation of the entire committee by consensus?
Yeah, something like that.
When we want to basically obtain information from them, is that acceptable?
But if we needed information from the council, then it would be a correct request to the council.
As a whole.
As a whole. It wouldn't be to individual council people. This is a different issue. There's an issue of how the committee communicates with the council, but there's also an issue of the extent to which individual council members may communicate to the committee and how they do that and if they are welcome to do that.
And that's what we're discussing now.
Yeah, both of those items are listed here. So I mean, there is a paragraph here that's the committee will communicate with the city council by. Fill in the blank.
But number one is members of the council. So it's for, number one is...
But number one is members of the council. And number one is that, you know, the member of the council is sitting behind you and during public comment or some other time, they just stand up and speak. Do you want that?
I mean, this seems to be driving. They were going to be a part of the committee and they were not, so now you can't legally stop them, like you said, but...
Make it clear they're not welcome.
I kind of like the speak when spoken to construct that I think emanated from over here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out when would we want to actually ask them, any one of them, anything. It's hard for me to imagine that Rosemary and Tina couldn't handle whatever questions we would have.
95% of the time, for sure. Yeah. There might be an exception. I don't know what it would be. But.
So you're saying that you wouldn't even want to have a provision in here for inviting them to speak?
Do we want to...
I like the may not, will not.
Council members are discouraged from sending.
I think we have a bill not action for all agreed on.
I mean, here's the scenario scenario is, okay. We have a milestone. We've got a bunch of them. We miss our, we know we're going to miss our milestone or whatever, and we want to, like, now we could send a formal thing to the city council. What do we do now, or should we just keep going and get it done with an extra month, or should, are you going to force us to get it done by the deadline or die, whatever they would say. They might want to send a representative from the city council to tell us, you know, they could just send us a memo, but they also might send somebody over here. Since you asked us, we really think it's critical this gets done by date X, and therefore let us send you a clear message about it. And that's a council member speaking to us, but they're speaking on behalf with, you know, direct message from the city council. Rather than coming in here and saying, I hear you've been debating about four possible choices, and I think three of them are crazy, and number one's the only one to go with. That's what you want to avoid. You know, that they're trying to get in the middle. Same thing you said about the water director, get in the middle of our discussion about our choices. They shouldn't have created us if they want to make that decision themselves.
David.
Yeah, I could see just taking subsection 1 out completely and just addressing how the committee communicates with the council.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can put we could appropriately put a rule in our articles that tells
city council
members as individuals that they can't exercise their right as individuals to come to a meeting and speak.
Absolutely.
So I think we could omit it and simply not invite them.
We'll just elevate them right away.
maybe if you don't bring it up, they won't come.
Well, I think if we define the turf as the committee communicates with the council and how we do that, that we've, you know, sort
that'll
of defined the area.
Okay. So it sounds like we're actually going to strike this section.
The entire A, or just
no, A1.
Just A1. And then we start talking. The next one is the committee will communicate with the city council by. So this is you communicating with them. And we just added, we said written reports, oral communication at council meetings, blah, 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 blah. What do you think? David?
I think letter or written report authorized by the committee.
Yes.
So you're saying it's got to be in writing, it's got to be authorized by the committee.
Or orally, but as authorized by the committee. We might send a rep over there with a message to read to their meeting or something.
I actually prefer that even if someone's going to read it, that we have either we've generated a report or we've authorized a member or a team of members to write a letter about a topic, so that, because, you know, in the LE telephone thing of things getting repeated, they get changed.
So you're saying it's got to be in writing.
Right. Even if we decide that it should be presented by a member orally at their meeting, they should have a writing from which to do
a text. So they'll be, they have a script. So what do you think? Other comments on this? Doug's going for it. Any other comments about this or sort of feelings that maybe this isn't
well,
so good? Yeah. Peter?
I personally prefer to keep things as widely worded as possible, so not to press us into more work than we have to do. Because sometimes it might be just necessary somebody goes up there and speaks 5 minutes and conveys a message we all agree on here. Sometimes, you know, at one point in the process, of course, we might need to have to produce a written report, but I, you know, boxing us into the all this needs to be a written report, this is not my, it would be my preference.
So you'd like to have the option at least of having somebody authorized to go and present something orally to the committee, to the council.
It goes with the general consensus, I think, judging the group here, we all trusting each other at a reasonable level, and like we had with the web committee.
I want to hear how David feels about that. I mean, is there some way that you could accommodate that?
Well, I mean, I'd like to actually hear from other people what other members of the committee think about this. I mean, I think I've been clear what my opinion is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sue?
I think as representatives of the public that we owe them as concrete a response and understanding of where we are every time we can facilitate that. So it seems to me that something written at the website and then presented to the city council would help achieve that goal.
Oh, so you're saying not only does it need to be in writing, but it needs to be published on the website before it's presented or as
at
it's presented to the council.
Time, yes.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you.
I would agree with David. I think even if you're going to send an oral message, it should be in writing,
yeah.
Because I think, you know, if we talk about it here and then the council meeting's 3 weeks later and whoever's reporting to them doesn't
So, other comments about this?
I don't know the website thing. I don't quite understand that.
Well, I think if people will be following us on the website, then that's one way they can keep on top of things.
It would happen on.
It's just another
minutes. It'll happen automatically because we would decide it at a meeting, and it would be in our minutes, and therefore it would be on the website.
Yeah.
So, how are you feeling?
Yeah,
about
for the sake of efficiency, I can step totally aside.
You're doing it. So it's good. That's all right.
You just don't want to stay on the side.
I would like to elevate your
That's great.
The would be that the committee will communicate with the city council by written report or letter, which may be presented orally at the council meetings, which may be accompanied by an oral presentation at the council meetings.
Okay.
But you had a phrase earlier, which is as authorized by our committee, which I think is the key phrase.
So,
if it's the committee that's communicating, then obviously it's authorizing. But yeah, if you want to put that language in, I'm fine with it.
That means individual members don't get to go to the city council and tell them what we've been up to, you know, from
their
point of view or something.
How's it look?
That's pretty good.
The committee will communicate with the city council by letter or written report, which may be accompanied by an oral communication as authorized by.
As authorized, you mean earlier. Can you communicate to the city council as authorized by the committee in written or written form? You follow me?
If the committee makes the decision to communicate, then it is authorized.
Correct.
All right. Let's have a look. So we talked about the committee communicating with the city council. Reports to the council will be delivered so that the action or response requested of the council is as focused as possible.
I think that's gratuitous. I mean, they can just try and be clear and short. I mean, we don't have to write it down as a requirement.
Other comments?
Very
great. Yeah, it's very good.
We don't have to do it the way that Mike suggests.
No, I know people.
I'm kidding. So then,
was that an agreement on the striking?
Yeah.
So you strike two and three, it seems like.
I mean, one and three.
One and three.
Well, we're striking
one and three.
Well, now this
one.
No,
we're
striking
three.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I see. It's not. No, you got the renumbered. So the next one: reports may not be supplemented by oral reports, delivered orally without a written document. If a report is to be delivered orally, the spokesperson people will be selected by the entire committee. I think we dealt with this, haven't we? So that one goes as well.
Gone.
The committee will report to the council when. So this is, you know, are there specific circumstances when you know you're going to need to report to the committee? It reaches a predetermined milestone. We discussed that a little bit earlier in the meeting. It wishes to change its charter.
I think we only need the first one, if at all.
We don't need
the last three. You don't even need, unless
what
we've already. I mean, we don't need to tell the council that we're changing the charter. That's our charter.
No, I think we do. It comes in the description of the first milestone. It says that you can change. Oh, maybe, no, actually, you're right. It's not the charter. It's the
chart.
You can
change
the chart.
The problem
statement.
Ah.
To the extent that some of the charge has got kind of mixed into this, I think. But you're right that you can change the charter. I think.
But at this point, you're sort of saying we have to.
This is an after-the-fact thing, right? We're not asking permission.
What we're saying here is that you would make essentially you'd be making a recommendation to the council that they authorize you to do something or other, or with the predetermined milestone, you're saying here we've done it.
Well, the first one we need because they asked us to do it. I mean, that's part of our charge. The second one, for what it's worth, I don't feel strongly about it, but if you change, once we publish our charter, when we're done with it, the city council is going to get copies of that, I'm assuming. This is what this group is up to, and some team or somebody will report that back to them. If you, they're going to assume then this is the rules we're operating under. If we change those, they should be notified. Now we're only going to require 8 people for a majority for whatever reason. We're changing our quorum rules. They should be informed about that. That I think that's something they should know. I would want to know that if I were a council member. Because I'm going to read, I would read the charter when it first came out and say, great, this is what they're doing. Now I know how it all works. If that changes, they should be informed, I think.
I'm a little confused about how we're defining our charter. I thought our charter was what the council adopted as the charter.
This is our charter.
This is our charter.
These are our charter.
You're talking about the charge.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. But
why would, since we're writing our own articles, why would we need to notify the council if we need to, if we decide to change them?
I don't think, we're not asking for permission. We're just notifying them we did.
Yeah,
well, since it's a public record, what's the difference?
Courtesy.
It's going to be published on the website. It's going to be
I think they would probably like to know if we did something like this.
Tina raised her hand. Let's hear from Tina for a second.
Just one thing. So all of our advisory body bylaws, which is this is very akin to, although it's a charter and it's different, always go to the city council for acceptance and approval. For instance, on our upcoming city council meeting, one of our advisory bodies wants to change the frequency of its meetings, and that's going to council for approval. So, I mean, I do contemplate that this document would go to our council in some form or fashion for acceptance. So whether it's an FYI or an agendized item, you can discuss, but I think at a minimum you'd want the opportunity for them to review it, and if they want to call it up and actually deliberate, maybe make a recommendation to be able to do that. One final thing, too. Earlier in this section, you talked about not being able to bind the council. But you can't unless they agree to do it. So you could always put in there, if you wanted them to comport themselves a certain way, you could always put that in there and then have them rejected or accepted. So just something to think about. But they have bound themselves in other ways. And they kind of talked, what I've heard, about wanting to really respect you this decision, so I don't think it'd be offensive.
So little
eye
might be back.
Little eye might.
If
you wanted it, you could bring back little eye. So, but we got two good things, important pieces of information from Tina. Thank you. We'll go back to number one in a moment. But let's stay on the question of the charter and changes to the charter, and whether you report them on. What do you think?
Sounds like we're reporting, so we can be in there.
Yeah, she's going to report it if we don't. So. What's the difference?
So we'll keep that one. What about the... some of you sort of stepped back from telling the members of council that it wouldn't be appreciated if they started to butt in meetings. Started to talk in meetings. But then you sort of backed away from that. What do you think? Would you like to assert that?
I still like speak when spoken to.
So you would like to put something like that back in? Yeah. Does anybody else feel like this?
I agree.
Yeah. Others? I mean, does anybody feel that we really shouldn't be doing that? Or you really shouldn't?
I can live with it if it's in, but I don't think we should do it.
So you're ready to,
aside.
Willing to stand aside.
It's not a big deal.
But that's not his
deal.
Yeah. If we put it in, would anybody, you've heard David is willing to step aside. Would anybody else object to him? Okay. I mean, then we...
Maybe
then
we can just add a little clause, like, other than the standard public comment period. Because I don't think we should strip away the rights to completely speak as a member of a public.
I don't think you're talking about taking the rights away. I think
well,
what you're doing is...
Well, certainly you could rephrase it and say, would we appreciate it if members of the city council did not speak or actively participate in the
meetings?
Yeah,
that would work.
If you put it in that way, then you're
it's a request.
You're communicating them the preference of the committee.
Right.
That we prefer that they not participate in that way, but you're not telling them they can't, which of course they can if they want.
Thank you.
So
it would be appreciated if members of the city council did not speak or actively participate in meetings, in committee meetings.
Other than when asked for information.
Well, but if we're asking for information, either it's going to be a request to staff or we're going to direct a request to the council.
Well, all right, but wait, is there anything wrong with that?
Okay. Well, just saying, unless you want information.
Because that's the speak when spoken to.
Yeah, that's the speak. Yes, that's right. You're allowing to the possibility that you will speak to them. You will say, so...
I did something wrong. So if council members would not speak or actively
participate.
No, the way you do it is the minor plus. The less specifically requested, less input is specifically requested by the committee, the committee would appreciate council members not speaking or actively participating. There's your exception on the broad rule.
And you should take out the word members at the end because it should be asked by the committee, not by individual members.
Mike, is it okay if I leave it in this order?
Don't go wrong.
Good.
Okay.
And it's where you have committee members in the middle, there should be meetings. That way, right there.
Yeah.
We have a little over half an hour to go. So we said that we'll report to the council for milestones, questions about the charter, the changes to the charter, add new members. I think actually you have to.
I think we have to.
Yeah, that's part of the charge. So that would have to be in there. What other things? Has anything else come up that you'd like to have it kind of written down that you know
when
that
we
happens?
Feel like it.
Go ahead, Sam.
I said when we feel like it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
As a committee, if we have something that we want to communicate...
Or anything else we...
Yeah.
Well, you know, we don't... We, do we need to say that?
I don't know if we need
but
to say that.
The way to do that is the committee to... Reasons for...
You know, when we go over the page, we're going to talk about...
There's a typo in there, but...
So the reasons we're putting the report to the council include, and then we just got three specified, and you can keep going from there. Then,
well, don't want a number four that says every other time the committee starts.
Well, that's what she's saying is that I suppose you say include, but is not limited to, or something like that.
Well,
I mean, that's what she's aiming at.
Okay, that's fine.
So then we talk about the ways that individual committee members. That's you individually, may communicate personally with council members within the constraints of the Brown Act. Members will, should consider, are expected to report back to the committee the substance of any communication with council members of concern to the work of the committee. So this is another of these things about sort of a collaborative environment. It's to try, you can imagine what it might be like if you discover that somebody else on the committee has been kind of... I don't even know if they're able to do this under the Brown Act, if you're able to do this under the Brown Act. But, I mean, if you're talking with a committee member about the work of the committee without really consulting or without informing the committee about this, then you would all get to hear about it indirectly. It just doesn't feel that nice when that happens. This is just being upfront about it. It's like saying, if I go off and talk to a council member about our work, I'll come back and let you know what's going on. That's what that is about. Does that make sense? Is that of interest to you?
It's of interest to me that that not be in there.
But
I think it's really inappropriate. If you keep in the sentence that says individual committee members may communicate personally with council members within the constraints of the Brown Act, that's the limitation. But beyond that, I mean, when you look at something, first of all, what is of concern to the work of the committee is a standard that is so vague that if you're talking about water, it's of concern to the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, especially for me as a water commissioner, chairperson of the water commission, I talk to the council members at times about water-related issues, and on an individual basis. And the notion that frankly, that I would have the burden of any time I speak to a council member about something related to water, that I've got to report it to the committee.
Mike,
I think it's modified.
Oh,
by
Mike and then Doug, go ahead.
It's modified by your second, by number seven. You know, which if you do talk to a council member, you're making clear you're talking on your own behalf. You're not representing this committee. You're
right.
Talking to them. That seems important.
I mean, that is slightly different.
So, I would take his. I agree with his position, but I would maybe make it clear or whatever that if you're talking to them, the one thing you cannot do is go in there and say, like, this is what the committee thinks or something. Or, no, you can't speak for this committee by yourself.
And what the committee thinks will be reflected in its documents.
It's written reports, as we already worked out in the earlier section.
So, I mean, this is a number seven that we're talking about now. We kind of slid to number seven. But before we go there, which seems to be a much easier thing to decide on, Doug, you raised your hand about...
No, I was going to say the same thing. I thought six could be truncated with the first sentence, and then seven elaborates meaningfully on that.
Is there anybody who feels differently than this, just sticking with the first sentence? Then we just stick with the first sentence.
Can I just ask, on the brevity side, do you even need anything then? I mean, mm-hmm. Do you need your charter to tell you that you can individually talk to council members?
That's helpful.
Okay. Well, it defines it within the constraints of the Brown Act.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's already, I mean, we are under the constraints of the Brown Act, as opposed to know that.
That's kind of a given.
For me, there's no difference. I talk to the council member, I talk to anybody else, but I mean, as long as it's a private conversation.
See, I would take seven and just follow. I only have six. Move seven into six, so there's the same concept here. You can talk to the council members as long as you're within the Brown Act, and you should not misrepresent that your ideas are the committee's ideas. Put it in one concept. That's what you can do.
Right. And since we've already decided elsewhere about how the committee will communicate, which is in writing, which may accompany an oral presentation of that writing, we don't need the last part of item seven. We don't need to say they will not represent the committee because we've already decided how people do represent the committee.
I would agree. I would leave it in here.
So it's fine.
It's okay.
Reinforcement.
So why did we write this? I mean, we said that we did it from the interviews. There's a lot of concern about lobbying. So you're meeting, you're being collaborative, and then you're possibly going and lobbying feels uncollaborative. That's why we wrote it. So that doesn't mean it was well done or that it is something you actually need, but is there something that you're losing here?
Yeah. I understand that issue. You're in the last stage. This group has made it finally come to a difficult consensus for assuming it works well. We all agree. But then you want to go say, like, well, yeah, I'm part of that consensus, but really, that is not the way to go. I've got this other idea, and you kind of undermine the whole thing we've been part of. That would not be particularly helpful. But I can imagine, it'd be hard for me to imagine how I would resist a council member asking me, are you guys going to get this done on time? How's it going over there or something? And I'm going to say, I'm not allowed to talk to you about these issues. Or that if I do talk to them, I can come back and tell you all, I answered council member X by telling them, like, it's going really well. We're getting along. I'm amazed at how well we're going. Or it's been difficult. It just seems like not right. But so the idea, again, as long as you don't, what really would trouble me is somebody going down there and saying, giving the council members a belief that you are explaining to them what our views are collectively, and that's not, that's not right.
Well, that's definitely the
thing. But other than that, I don't think you can stop us from having a conversation with a council member about water issues when you're on the Water Commission or telling them how things are going or whatever your views are.
But no one's reporting to stop you. The issue is what you have to report.
My guess is if we come to a consensus, we will have a discussion about feeling bound by that consensus and working hard to make that consensus happen. After all the work, if you spent a year on this, and I'm dragged into something that I didn't start off believing, and now I do need to agree to it and stuff, the idea that somehow I'm going to then try and do anything other than fight like hell to get that implemented that we spent a year working on, that's... I hope not.
Let's hear from Doug.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent I had a concern about lobbying, it was actually reciprocally that the council may lobby members to try to hurt us in some direction or another. And again, I think I trust everybody's integrity enough that we would stand up to that or hear it but not absorb it or whatever. But to the extent we want to talk about lobbying, we should talk about it both directions. I'm sure we're comfortable with it.
And it's not just with council members.
So, what I'm hearing is that this question that we put in here, as Carrie's saying, we didn't just kind of invent it. We put it in there because we heard that you were concerned about it. Some of the people we interviewed were concerned about it, and so we concocted this section to try to respond to that. I'm glad that we've had the conversation because I think what one of the things that we're concerned about. But what I'm hearing is that we can strike everything from 6 except the first sentence, and the first sentence we can just combine into the, make it the beginning of section 7.
Why so is it?
The other way around. So we
will renumber them, but that's,
yes,
that's,
we renumber it.
That's what it would say.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, then that's it for you talking to the council, the city council. We then go on to you talking to the city. And just about the entire section is in a square bracket. So it's like, this could perhaps almost all be dumped. But here it is. All communications with the city administration that concern the substance of the committee's work will be addressed to, you know, fill in the blank, the director of the water department comes to mind, obviously. 2, copies of any written communications between the city and members that concerns the work of the committee will be posted on the website, provided to members. And then the third one is the substance of any oral communication with the city administration that concerns the business of the committee will be reported orally to the committee, summarized and posted on the website, etc., etc. So those are the that's the first paragraph, and then the end is the last one is communication between members and the city staff members providing logistical support to the committee are not restricted or affected by this charter. So that's just to make clear that when you're talking to somebody who's working with just the logistics of making these meetings work, that's not what we're discussing here. Mike?
I'll ask this as a question rather than trying to answer it. Do we want to block any of us from going to be able to talk to a city employee in the water department? I'll give an example, the director of the conservation program, and ask him a question about, have you ever tried this? Or do you know if any other cities are doing that? Or it seems to, what do people think about that? Because to me, as a committee member, we're going to get a lot of information collectively all here together and stuff, but sometimes you have a question that you want to go, you know, it's between a month between meetings. You want to go get information. I mean, you can't go direct a staff member, make them go do a study for you or something. The council members can't even do that. So that should be out. I don't think I have to even write that down. That's just not something the staff members know, that you're not their boss. But it seems to me to be able to ask questions, to get information between meetings, and not have to get somebody else's permission to have that conversation. I don't know what people think of it.
Peter,
I agree. I would like to keep this informal as much as we can. Also for efficiency, because once you build in too many rules,
it's true. We're getting a lot of reporting stuff here.
Right,
and then Rick. Yeah.
I think we've called out the report to the city council. And I envisioned our relationship with staff would be more collaborative and fact gathering, and I wouldn't want to see anything that would preclude that. Yeah. As long as it's clear we're reporting to the council, we may copy Rosemary on the reports to the council.
Can you? Maybe. Would you?
So I'm the staff is available. I think the one issue that we have to really consider is the practical reality of 14 people calling up people and saying, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? I don't know what the answer is, but I think that's a real issue given the workload that we have on our desk at the moment. So I think that's something you guys should talk about.
Do you want to go through you as a way of controlling that?
Well, it's some kind of a mechanism by which requests for information are allowed to be prioritized, vetted, whatever might, you know, collapse. So this person has the same question as that person. Let's answer it once instead of here. You know.
Rick had his hand up, but if this is directly about what Rosemary said, then
I don't care if it goes first.
Okay, go ahead.
It's just a question of were there concerns that arose to produce this language?
What we're responding to concerns about people sort of messing with the collaborative environment. I don't really know a better way to say it, but lobbying is the sort of the classic word. But it
stop shopping for answers. How about that?
There are all sorts of the way that it manifests. But it can manifest in a lot of ways. But the way that it sort of stings is when you're in the committee and you suddenly hear that somebody else, one of your colleagues, has been running around stirring up trouble, what you see as trouble, by talking with, on the one hand, council, on the other hand, the staff. That, generally speaking, it messes up your kind of collegial, collaborative feeling if you hear about it when it bites you, rather than somebody saying, "Well, here's what happened when I talked to so-and-so." That's what this is all about. First of all, I'm glad, in a sense, if the only thing we got out of this was that you'd all been made aware of it, that would be a great step as far as I'm concerned. But it's true that all of this would, if you agree to this, and we've already seen that you don't want to agree to big chunks of it, you would be imposing on yourself some sort of reporting responsibilities that are kind of onerous.
Yeah.
You know.
See, I would throw out this section, except to the extent that when communicating with city administration, staff members, et cetera, that you are clear that you're doing so on your own behalf, not on the behalf of the committee. Beyond that, if you need to establish a gatekeeper system between your staff, so that staff knows that before they're going to, you know, that when they receive a request, they might be saying, "I've got to run past the director," or however you want to, you know, do your gatekeeper, that's something that you can manage.
Yeah, a thought I had along those lines in terms of trying to manage that funnel was thinking of it in terms of a due diligence process or something, that there'd be an information ombudsman either on city staff or maybe it's a temporary committee of the committee that absorbs those requests, delivers them, collates them, delivers them on behalf of the committee, and then publishes the information back out to everyone here, so we're all apprised of, you know, the great information that's available from staff. We all get together. Mechanically, I don't know whether we break anything on that.
So I think, though, the one piece of that was about what Mike said is, you know, it's more of an informal, let's go have coffee and let's sort of have a chat about, you know, it's kind of an exploration, brainstorming. It's not a tell us, you know, the answer in 7, or, you know, it's not. So the relationship he described, I think, could turn into a huge time sink and kind of a little bit of a challenge for everybody. Some people might do it, other people don't feel like they know the staff as well, might not do it. Is that a benefit or a cost to the committee? I don't know. I do think that some mechanism by which what the staff has to offer is made available to everyone in terms of the information would be really valuable. So maybe it's more like we should do, you know, some clarity about some topics, and then if you want to ask the question of the brainstorming or the, you know, what do you think about question, it happens in front of the whole committee.
You've opened a box which is going to be, I think, part of our approach to the work plan. You know, how are you going to approach all of your work here? And part of that is going to be deciding what you need to know and deciding where you're going to get that information and going about getting it. And, I think of in the context that I think you're discussing now, we're talking about the staff as a resource as part of your sort of getting to know what's going on and then reaching decisions about the recommendations that you make. I hope that it won't be too casual, honestly, because if it is, it'll be really tough. So we want to formalize as much as we can. Yes, David?
But under this section B, you've got part one and part two. Part two says communication between members and the city staff members providing logistical support are not restricted or affected by this chapter.
That's right.
So the communications that you're talking about are communications other than to getting logistical support.
Yeah, well, the logistical support is like, where are we going to put the tables? Do we need microphones? Is there going to be enough food? I mean, it's that kind of thing. So we wanted it to be clear that we're only talking about the stuff that's substantially of interest to the committee, not how many chairs there are.
So let me give you an example. There's a point that right now the Water Commission is considering the Master Conservation Plan, and eventually I imagine there'll be some discussion here about that. If one of the committee members wanted to get a more in-depth understanding of some of the stuff in the Master Conservation Plan and wanted to sit down with Toby Goddard or someone at the department and have it explained to them, do they need to publish all of that to the rest of the committee? Do they need to go through the committee, or is that just something that you handle as the gatekeeper and have staff deal with?
I actually think that the best way to handle that would be for there to be a presentation on the Conservation Master Plan, long-term Conservation Master Plan here.
Which I'm sure there will be at some point.
And that anyone who's got questions about it can ask you know, is part of the discussion of the content of that presentation.
Peter, before we go to Peter, David, do you understand what we meant by logistical?
Well, I'm seeing that it means, to me, logistical support could be any type of consulting support.
But that's not what I meant.
But that's not what you meant.
It's something. Could you describe a report? Is it a thesis that's in a free reminder? Or did, hey, guys, I talked to Toby. What did you have in mind when you wrote that?
That's right. Exactly. It's like it's not an elaborate report. It's just to let people know that instead of hearing about it in some other context, everybody in the committee will get to hear about it from, for example, from you at the next meeting. Talk to Toby. We talked about this.
Well, here's the practical problem. It's rare that I ever heard a report in a public meeting from a city staff person that the time didn't run out, and I didn't want to take the entire city council's time to ask my three more questions because they're pretty narrow, and I'm not sure that even before I've asked them whether they matter, until I get the answer, I won't know. But I don't want to be barred from having follow-up questions that are not at the time of this entire 14 bunch of people. Not everybody wants to do that, but some of us might not. If the idea is we can only hear information from the city staff when we all hear it together, then I'm constrained to ask all my questions in the public meeting, and when I don't get them answered, there'll be a conflict at some point, because I will ask a lot of questions that often go beyond the, and I'm sure others as well, I'm not picking myself out as different that way, but not all of us have, and that's me for some questions. Other things I'm going like, I don't care. Why are they asking those questions? They're boring me to death, and I don't see why it matters. So the public presentation's plenty for me. I'm done. But I think you shouldn't stop us from being able to do follow-up stuff. But I understand the staff's problem. They don't want to have somebody over there spending, you know, all day with me asking Byzantine questions that may or may not really matter to this process, and they've got other things. They have a job to do.
But it's not just that. I mean, if you ask those three questions that you didn't ask after the follow-up because, you know, you didn't think we were out of time or whatever, well, someone else in the committee might have the same or similar kinds of questions. So it really becomes competitive because someone else will come and ask us the same set of questions or something similar. So, I don't know that there's a perfect answer, and I certainly don't want to, I'm not trying to sort of wall the staff off from, but there are some practical limitations to the degree to which we can sort of manage, you know, consultations from just 14 people kind of in a real-time way.
Yeah, Peter, you've been very patient.
I have an answer to that. I think we should leave the personal communication informal, not even mention it, and leave it up to city staff to protect themselves from. If it gets too much, I mean, it's your prerogative to say, you know, we've answered this question, talk to that committee member, we talked to him already now. So, but you present us with whatever we want to know here, and if there's anything additional on a personal level, I think you should be able to say, well, we don't have time right now, or whoever that is. Formalize that is.
There are two things that we're talking about here. One is sort of how to prevent city staff from getting drowned by requests for follow-up this and that. And the other is the question of members of the committee rushing off on a tangent and trying to develop something, some idea by themselves that they then sort of dump on the rest of you when you weren't expecting it. Those are the two things. They're different. And it sounds, I mean, what I'm hearing is that you're actually, on the one hand, you'd like the city staff to kind of look after themselves, and on the other hand, you'd like to look after yourselves in terms of the sort of the ambushing or the stirring up trouble sort of stuff. That's like, we'll handle it. Is that what it is? So,
I have a third wrinkle on this. What got me interested in applying to serve on the committee was that I had gotten interested in all the consultant reports that go on with the Water Commission. And so with another person, I've been sitting down off and on since November to get some behind-the-scenes details on the numbers in the Water Conservation Master Plan. since November, still working on it, originally with Toby, now with Susie O'Hara, still not getting access that was promised before, and I still want to work on it with this other person. And I don't want to be, my question, so I have a question about that. Can I continue to do that? And then secondly, on any new document that comes up, can I continue to offer constructive criticism as an independent member of the public?
I feel confused about this because somehow the word barred came up. Like, I don't want to be barred from this. But all I heard, and I'm not advocating for this thing, it's just a clarity thing. I heard that if you did that, you would say at the beginning of the meeting, I met with,
right,
what's her name?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have any problem whatsoever reporting, even writing up a report. That wouldn't be, I wouldn't see that as onerous whatsoever.
So,
but I can only speak for myself.
Thank you. Charlie and Mindy.
Would you envision a portion of the agenda each meeting where would everybody like to report who they spoke to, what they spoke about? You know, we spend 10-15 minutes sharing information.
Probably something like that. It may not be 10 or 15 minutes. It depends on how substantial it was. But you're right.
Or how many people had conversations.
Yeah.
But if everyone does that, it's 2 minutes. I mean, that's a lot of time. You know, it seems like kind of running it similar to a commission makes sense.
It seems
how does
necessarily burdensome.
So I completely support what Peter was suggesting, and I think we're confusing a couple of different topics here.
Mm-hmm.
The thing under sub B, committee city, is about communications by members with someone at the city that concerns the substance of the committee's work, which to me is particularly broad and vague, and it would encompass all things water. And it would mean any time I was communicating with Rosemary in my capacity as chair of the Water Commission that I would be reporting it to the committee, like we talk about the agenda or, you know, whatever we do. And that's getting confused with protecting staff from being under siege by the committee, which is not our
different
problem,
topic,
frankly, and Rosemary can deal with internally appropriate, I'm sure. And
we will
understand that sometimes the answer is going to be no.
Great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she has the ability to go to our facilitators and say,
yeah,
your committee members are now inundating me with too much. Please
right.
talk to them about fixing this problem. And then maybe we do have to set some limits.
You do understand that
sure.
City staff, any kind of government worker is trained never to say no. They always have to try to find out how to say yes, but there you go.
Well, so we're going to be helping Rosemary to say no, I guess.
Yeah.
That's useful. And so I think that this section concerning JAWS myself. If somebody comes up with finds out something that's actually important to the committee's work, I expect they would report it to the committee because it's interesting and it matters.
Because
it's collaborative, not because there's a requirement that any time they spoke to someone, they have to tell us.
Does anybody feel differently than David? All right.
But I think we should build into our meetings time for that information sharing.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But it is not like.
Sometimes it's like, you know, and how long.
But there's no sort of mandatory reporting. That's what you're saying.
I hope that we will all try and communicate the information we've gathered.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
so,
the expectation of our.
So I'm going to delete this. Da-da-da-da-da. And I'm going to remind myself to cross-reference the regular meeting report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how are we doing for time? We're giving it to see as well?
Yeah.
So we got, we started like 5 or 10 minutes late.
No.
We started on time?
We started on time.
All right. So we better end on time. It's 29 minutes past. David wants to toss sub C before you go. But I'd sort of like to...
Oh, that's
the other end. Yeah,
but wait until tomorrow. Because we still haven't done the other agenda item, which is figuring out what we're doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what we're doing. We have an agenda. But I know that there's a desire to get as much charter stuff done and possibly be able to go beyond just talking about interest in terms of the consultants. Nick looks at, we want, you know, we're committee pleasers to the extent we can be.
Yeah.
So
double honest.
Yeah. We have some ideas for switching the agenda. We're attuned to that desire, but as we said, it's taken time to do this charter. I think you've been efficient and effective. You're not going to get it done. If you have some ideas of how you would like to make things more efficient, tell us now.
Committee.
And do tell me just once.
Subcommittee.
Just once.
We got two people nodding their heads about subcommittees right here. Is that? Would you like to talk about that now, or would you like to go home and come back and talk about it tomorrow?
It seems like a great thing to talk about at the outset tomorrow.
No.
And
Peter's got his hat on, so.
Send a message. One thing out the door.
Then the other question that will go with that is: you saw this was me, and we were hoping to at least get through this section today, tonight, and we haven't. Would you just take a look at that and see if that's something you want to delegate to a subcommittee, or do you want to talk about it together tomorrow? Don't answer now.
No, but which section
are you talking about?
The remains of
this.
Whatever we haven't done.
Yeah. No,
this is one particular.
Oh, this particular.
The communications.
Yes, we got to B, we got C, we got D.
Facilitators. So Article 4, basically. The remainder of Article 4.
The remainder, thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly. So don't answer that now. Just think about it. So when we reconvene, you are going to engage on the subcommittee issue. You're going to tell us if you want to do the rest of Article 4 or the delegate, essentially. And we're going to talk about ways to make the conversation as efficient as possible until the end of Friday. And I owe you an email to all of you, so I'll do that tonight. Okay.
Any loose ends that any of you want to point out that we should pick up? Other than what Carrie has just outlined, Charlie.
Not a loose end, but just a recommendation as time allows. Rather than spending a lot of time deciding if we're going to do a committee to review this, if we all just redline it tonight and come back tomorrow with ideas ready to go, we might be able to streamline the process and not have to deal with the decision making of a subcommittee.
Yeah.
Good point.
Definitely redline it.
Definitely.
Nothing else to do.
Any others? You're doing well. We'll get into the water stuff one of these days.
You know, I just wanted to say, I didn't see anybody. Maybe they're thinking internally, but I didn't see anybody going like, "Yo, why are we wasting our time with this? This is critical stuff. If you don't resolve this at the beginning, you will deal with it later, and it will take five times as long." Because then you'll be loaded with the issue that you're actually fighting about.
You're absolutely right. You know the Public Safety Task Force, and they've worked with this for 3 or 4 months. I think the first 3 meetings were all about this. So I'm really glad that you're able to kind of get this out of the way right at the start. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow morning. Back tomorrow afternoon.
I don't know how to take that home.
Are leaving this here for our use tomorrow? So are we leaving this here for our use tomorrow?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to
be here for the committee. It's part of our work.
Put it in your arm.
We're going to
turn it in.
I don't know how
to do it. Usually they're out of you. Just go. Yeah, like,
how about you?
What do you think about the word?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I understood from Scott and Sue. She's gone. Well, have fun driving with Zach.
Oh, man, I know it's my life these days.
Well, I went to school at Davis. I know that I drive, but I can't say I was doing it on that report.
Well, that gives us permission.
You know about that too. Yeah. Just think how delightful it would be to have a decent train or bus and get some work done on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just have so much time.
That's
what's really just not accounted for very well. Our society's accounting and transportation.
I don't need to keep doing work on that.
But we'll get better. Really nice sitting with you tonight. And,
I actually had a message in the market for chip companies and designing to do that. Negotiations, I had some ideas there, but I haven't heard it anywhere else.
Okay.
The detail, the level of detail, the definition.